go. Head On with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go, off and running on this sixth day of August 2021. This is The Horn. HeadOn.live is where you go if you'd like to be part of the merry, wacky, zany, real-time multimedia extravaganza that is The Horn chat room in the 3 hours in which this program is live, Monday through Friday, 5 to 8 p.m., 2 to 5 p.m. Pacific time. Yeah. And if you pop by right now, well, you'll be greeted by early arrivers Anatole and Squeaky, and capably moderated by longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky, who, although he is a third-stage guild navigator, is disinclined to fold space when there's a chance that he might accidentally fold space into the middle of the third-largest wildfire in California history. You know, folding space is art as well as science, without a doubt. Now I'm looking at a picture of the picture of the fire right now. Is that the, is that, that's, you didn't take that picture, did you, Sparky? Or did you? Oh, well, oh, that's the Lassen Park view of the Dixie Fire. Holy crap. Hi, I'm Robin. It is Friday on the front porch, and we'll get that all going in fairly short order. And we have a new and improved Friday on the front porch. As is only fitting, Sparky has third stage guild navigator lightsaber ready to roll. Yeah. And we'll get that conversation going in about an hour. Okay, call it 56 minutes or so if I'm on schedule. So that's, I'm looking forward to it. Like I said last night after, or in the last show, it was last evening for me, if the week is any indication, we may have a vigorous discussion this evening. It's hard to say, but every program here at The Horn begins with gratitude, and this program is no different. So that means we have thanks to send out. Oh yes, we do. Thanks kindly to our sixth day of the month subscribers. That means thank you very kindly to Charlene in Rogues Island. Thank you to Michael in Madison. Thank you, Bob. Thank you, Bob, very kindly. Thank you, Kitty in Boston. Thank you, Kim and Malin in New Jersey. Thank you to John. And thank you, one and all, for being partial sponsors of the program and helping to keep this little experiment in whether liberal independent broadcasting can survive for years and years and years. Well, thank you for, well, making that experiment, that experimental hypothesis, make the answer be yes. Thank you. So if you would like to help out, just run over to headon.live. The PayPal interface is over there. And it's real easy to use. We could always use new subscribers. Or just an a la carte contribution, because the fundraising goal for this evening is $650. We will finish the first full week of August fully funded if we can raise $650 this evening. That's 10 at 65, or 65 people at $10, or any combination thereof. Let's see, that's 2 at 32.50, 4 at 16 and a quarter, 8 at $8.13. It's actually $8.12 and a half cents, but we will go back to our previous practices of rolling that half a penny up into Agnes's cabana fund. Yes. At any rate, hopefully we will finish the week to the good, and I'll pay a bunch of bills. And recall, please, that I'm going to be gone for a week at the end of this month. August is traditionally the hillbilly vacation month, going way back to the days when the coal mines would shut down in August. It's just how it worked out. Maybe it's because government shut down in D.C. and the coal mine bosses and the government politicians needed the month to hobnob and hoi polloi and rub shoulders and whatnot. So, 650, that's where we are. And you can help out over at headon.live. Well, let's get things rolling. I have Joey's journal here. Yeah. What's love got to do with it? I just literally listened to Wednesday night's program entitled Clyburned today. And I'll have you know, Jeffrey and I were not the least a bit offended by your pushback, Robin. That's what the horn should be, and I believe is all about. We should be good people who on occasion disagree, but at the end of the day come together and stand behind the Democratic Party and the Democratic candidate. Unfortunately, this was not the case in 2016 when Nina Turner, like a traitor, turned her back on the Democratic Party and not only voted for Jill Stein, but campaigned for her as well. Junior steps up with some thoughts. I think Nina Turner acted like a turncoat, and this is why I stayed home and didn't want to campaign for her. I refer to it as refer to her as Turncoat Turner. Safe to say that Junior was turned off by Nina Turner. Turner's tantrums truly disgusted me. Joey's working the alliteration corner today. As well, and I know for a fact, her antics turned off a lot of people on the campaign trail. More than a few expressed to me their disgust and disdain for Turner, and I totally agree with their sentiments. However, I really wanted another strong progressive in the House of Representatives, and sometimes you just have to take the shit with the sandwich. Nina Turner is a very divisive figure, and you either love her or you hate her. That is the conclusion that I gleaned from campaigning these past 2 weekends. Bernie's also a divisive figure, but for the most part, people don't dislike Bernie except for the radical idiots, including Nina Turner, who did not vote for Hillary in 2016, or didn't vote at all. Shame on all of you that didn't vote for Hillary in 2016. More shame to those of you who abandoned the artist formerly known as Bob for his imploring of all of you to support Hillary. Grow up. Hell, Jeffrey even voted for Hillary. And that's how and why we ended up with Trump and a bunch of shitty fascist right-wing judges who may literally overturn the 22 and 24 elections. Yeah, that'll give you the fantods just thinking about it. My mother, Joey says, mentioned last week that she was very happy Joe Biden was in the White House. She thought that she was going to get a lot of blowback from me, but I have to say I feel exactly the same sentiment. I really wanted for Bernie to have the opportunity to become president, and even though Clyburn did nothing nefarious or illegal to Bernie, he and all the corporate Dems, including Klobuchar, tried to do a comb-over on Bernie, referring to the incident where Klobuchar threw a tantrum and ate her lunch with a comb. Oh, that just grosses me out every bit as much as that video from back in the early aughts of Paul Wolfowitz licking his comb and then running it through his hair. Oh, Jeffrey, meanwhile, is eating up the conversation. Speaking of lunches, I thought Bernie was going to eat all the corporate Dems' lunches in the last primary. However, Joe Biden has accomplished as much as Bernie could have to this point and taken an aggressive stance on many issues. I'm very pleased with what Biden has attempted, despite Kyrsten Sinema and Joe Manchin fucking everything up. And that really is the final analysis. Myself, I'm just thrilled that Jill Biden is the First Lady. Yes, I'm very high on Jill Biden because she's so likable. After Joey and I campaigned these past 2 weeks, we were asked to give feedback on our campaign experience by the Turner campaign. I simply told them that Nina Turner is not that likable. I also conveyed to the campaign people that Nina Turner is not Tina Turner, and everybody loves Tina Turner, but what's love got to do with it? Number one hit in 1984, I will remember. Well, as it turns out, love has a lot to do with it, because I don't care how great a politician you may be, if people don't like you, you're not going to win in Nutbush City Limits or anywhere else. Okay. Little cowbell for the Tina Turner references there. This has been Joey's Journal for Friday, the 6th day of August, with Giraffe currently in a lodge at Canal Park in downtown Akron watching the rubber ducks warm up. Oh, I'm sorry, a loge seat, yes. Watching the rubber ducks warm up. $10 rubber ducky challenge on the table. And so that'll get us started for the evening, and it'll get us down to $630 to go if somebody meets the rubber ducky challenge.
Rubber ducky, you're the one.
No, you know, my Kermit the Frog is getting to where it sounds like fucking Rush Limbaugh, and I don't think I'm not going to do my Kermit the Frog impression anymore. That's just, ugh, I know. But almost with perfect timing, we have this story just to remind us what's at stake in 2022 and, you know, who the real enemy is. You know, you hate talking about your fellow countrymen as an enemy, but in light of the fact that the vast majority of Republicans will not outright condemn the attack on the Capitol of January the 6th, I think enemy domestic, well, if the shoe fits, right. What's that? Scott in San Diego. Late summer congressional recess. My dad, Scott says, used to say that in the olden days, Congress took their extended summer recess because the buildings weren't air-conditioned back then. Well, that's true back before, yeah. But what's even more true for the reason for the August recess in D.C. is in the days before relatively modern medicine, August was that time of year when from places like Philly or Washington, D.C., one wished to escape because of the prevalence of things like yellow fever and malaria. Mm-hmm. Not kidding. That's the reason for the August recess, because, well, D.C. was built on a swamp that George Washington sold them and probably chuckled behind his not wooden teeth all the way back to Mount Vernon. Yeah. Oh, thank you. Thank you very kindly. Jeremy just met the Rubber Ducky Challenge, courtesy of Joey and Giraffe. Thank you, Jeremy. PayPal actually showed that one to me rather quickly, and which is nice. But what I was getting at... okay, that's good. What's with all these fires in California, Brother Deacon Asa asks? How many gender reveal parties have people been having recently? Oh, I know. I don't know, maybe PG&E started this one, too. But there's no getting around the fact that it's huge. But no, just as a reminder of who the real enemy is, this would be an enemy domestic. Enter, and for once, it's a name with the capital R-Ohio behind it, and it's not Jim Shorts Jordan. Now, enter Representative Bob Gibbs. And, Bob Gibbs took out his letter-writing crayon, and he wrote a letter to his Republican colleagues. These things are referred to in D.C. parlance as Dear Colleague letters. And what does Representative Bob Gibbs want? Well, he wants to impeach Joe Biden. Now, Nitwit Nero was impeached twice. And he was impeached for running a shakedown operation and soliciting bribes from Ukraine. And then he was impeached for his role. And remember, Congress found the bills of impeachment. And so as a consequence, it's an actual finding of fact that he did, more likely than not, do the things he was charged with. The fact that the Senate did not convict does not mean that he was not impeached. He was impeached. He remains the only president in the history of this country to be impeached twice, and not only to be impeached twice, but to be impeached twice in one term, which is a real mark of non-distinction. But nonetheless, Bob Gibbs wants to impeach Joe Biden for dereliction of duty in securing the southern border. He ain't building a wall! And for his unconstitutional order to extend the eviction moratorium. Yeah, Joe Biden is trying to keep people from being unhomed And that, according to Bob Gibbs, a Republican from Ohio, is a reason to impeach the President of the United States. Someone needs to explain to him that impeachment, Bob Gibbs, is not a tit for tat game of seventh grade onesies. Jesus. You got to wonder, representing Gibbs, you got to wonder if anybody is struggling to pay rent in his district. Well, nobody that votes Republican, no, probably lots of people who vote Republican, but, you know, nobody that Bob Gibbs actually cares about. He's Bob Gibbs. He's got his fuck you, igumfoo, you know, that put that on the crest of the Republican Great Seal, Republican Party of the United States, igumfoo. And then over the top, IOKIYAR. Yeah, this is a real, real piece of work. The president is derelict in his duty, having repeatedly said he lacks the authority to extend the CDC's eviction moratorium and then extending it anyway. His actions on the border represent a negligence in keeping America secure. We need to cut this off at the pass now. Dipshit, Bob, you don't cut something off at the pass. You head it off at the pass, you fucking moron. And so we will not stand for clearly unconstitutional actions. Yeah. Of course, the day after he was inaugurated, Marjorie Traitor Gangrene Cueball also filed articles of impeachment against Joe Biden. I guess he took the oath the wrong way or something. Well, that's right, he didn't swear allegiance to Q like I done did. Oh, for God's sakes. But as goofy and derpy as it is, it's a reminder of just how toxically stupid maggot Republicans are. Dear colleagues, this is the actual letter. As members of Congress, we have the solemn duty to uphold the Constitution of the new 90 states. In the 6 months since President Biden assumed office, at least, well, how about that? He assumed office, not since the American people. How about in the, no. Notice the clever way in which he avoids noting that Joe Biden won the election. Mm-hmm. He has taken several executive actions that skirt the United States Constitution. I believe the two most obvious offenses are the unilateral extension of the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention's moratorium on evictions and the continued failure to appropriately and adequately defend the United States southern border. Defend the United States southern border. Anybody want to tell me about the army that has massed on our southern border and is getting ready to pour across in wave after wave after wave and go out and go and take over all of our gulfs? I mean, wasn't that how that set piece ran back in the days of that one in our White House? Remember, yes, the late John McCain referred to then-candidate Barack Obama as that one. Mm-hmm. Less than 2 months ago, the Supreme Court warned President Biden such an extension would require congressional authorization. President Biden ordered the CDC to extend the moratorium on August 3, 2021, which will expire again in 60 days, blatantly ignoring the court. Curiously, when the CDC put its eviction moratorium in place the first time, that was back during the reign of Nitwit Nero. And you know what? Representing Bob Gibbs of Ohio, he didn't say dick. Mm-hmm. President Biden himself has openly admitted that the bulk of the constitutional scholarship says it's not likely to pass constitutional muster. The president's action, despite his previous reiteration of his lack of authority, is a blatant and flagrant disregard for the separation of powers enshrined in the U.S. Constitution. It's in the Constitution! Furthermore, the president of the United States is bound by the U.S. Constitution's preamble to provide for the common defense. Son of a gun! There's no hypocrisy in mentioning that, is there? He's also out there to promote the general welfare, but sorry, but representing Gibbs doesn't make any mention of that. Specifically, Section 4, Article 4 of the Constitution states that the new United States shall guarantee to every state a republican form of government and shall protect each of them against invasion. In other words, the president is required to defend and secure the United States and its citizens. Secure the citizens. Well, that sounds a bit like martial law, doesn't it? Is that what you want, Bob Gibbs, really? Is that what you want, martial law? You want the citizens all secured. And generally speaking, you kind of need an army to be doing any invading, but, you know, that's me. Oh, how stupid is representing Gibbs? Oh, amen, Ralphs. Amen. He way stupid. President Biden has failed to uphold these constitutional duties to secure our southern border, and has even taken steps to empower his own Department of Justice to sue states who take matters into their own hands when the executive branch neglects to secure the border and protect the people of those states. Despite the executive branch's recent exhortations on the coronavirus pandemic, including the CDC's scientifically illiterate guidance on masking for vaccinated people, because Representative Bob Gibbs is all scientifically literate, yeah, you betcha. Dude picks his teeth with his own toenail clippings. Come on. The reports of thousands of illegal immigrants infected with COVID-19 being released into the United States is particularly egregious. It is bad enough that the border is not secure. Must the Biden administration contribute to the worsening of a situation they deem so dire? This is such classic xenophobic Republican bigotry, it's enough to make you gag. So the current blaze of COVID-19 and the Delta variant in the United States has nothing to do with Republicans who won't get a vaccine because they're afraid it's going to put little liquid 666s in their bloodstream, and then they won't be able to either buy nor sell nor get a ticket to a Lee Greenwood concert. It's the Mexicans. God, it never ends with these people. They're horrible. President Biden's recent actions on the border represent a blatant dereliction of his constitutionally prescribed duties. Moreover, his shameless disregard for the limitations... Shameless. No shame. For the limitations of his executive authority is a violation of his oath of office. That's beautiful. This guy's claiming that Joe Biden has shameless disregard for the limitations of his executive authority, while at the same time he's on his knees daily before Nitwit Nero, you know, who actually was telling people in blew right past his own shamelessness to say,
just find the 11,500 votes. That's all I need. Just find them for me. I don't care where they come from. Just find me 11,500 votes.
That's a violation of his oath of office. Meanwhile, Nitwit Nero never violated his. Oh, hypocrisy, thy name is Maggot. Many of us were witness to the politically motivated impeachment proceedings of the previous 4 years. Yes, and many of us were witness to the attack on the Capitol of the United States and the attempted coup that happened on January 6th, but no mention of that there, Bob Gibbs, is there? As conservatives and Republicans, I believe we understand impeachment is a serious constitutional mechanism meant to be used only in the rarest and most grave circumstances, but not when the president that we worship is running a shakedown scheme against Ukraine or when he tries to overthrow the a democratically conducted presidential election. No, I added that part. Sadly, we saw our Democrat colleagues debase it and use it as a talking point for electoral gain. We must strenuously avoid such trivial treatment of our duty. President Biden continues to disregard his constitutional duties and boundaries. I believe conducting a sober evidence-based... Really? Among the maggots? Sober? Sure. Evidence-based discussion regarding impeachment is warranted. I urge you all to remember our duty to the Constitution and American people to hold this administration accountable. Well, Bob Gibbs must want something from COVID Caligula. Good God. That's absolutely true. Frank out in Iowa just says, representing Gibbs has pegged the needle on the stupid meter. Boop! Yeah, all the way over in the red. Not yet. Yes. Impeachment for not building the wall, says Steve in New York. As I recall, neither did Pumpkin Pol Pot. Certainly Mexico never paid a dime for it when he promised that they would. As for the southern border, you've clearly forgotten about our border between Florida and Mexico.
It's a very wet border, very wet. It's also our border between Florida and, you know, Cuber.
Mm-hmm. Scott in San Diego says, ha, the GOP. So remember, folks, if you love asshattery, nutbucketry, asshattery, dumbfuckery, and dipshittery, the Republican Party is the place for you. Yes, it is. Mm-hmm. Ironicalness. Great word. That's a cowbell word. The one thing that all lefty, liberal, progressive, etc. people talking about the maggots was the complete awareness, the complete lack of awareness of their own irony. Bob Gibbs seems to be no exception. Yeah, I know. Ironicalness. Mm-hmm. Art of word knowing that. So, I mean, it's handy to have little reminders like this when we've, you know, had disagreements in our little family community congregation about who's leftier than the other and who's more ideologically pure. Yeah, really doesn't matter. That's the problem. The Bob Gibbses and Jim Shorts Jordans and Marjorie Trader gangrene cue balls and Lauren Bobblehead Boobert Clanny Oakleys and Louis Asparagus Gomerts and Matt It Just Gates Better. Yeah, remember, focus! Eyes on the prize, people. Mm-hmm. And, by the way, back to Amy Klobuchar for a minute. Subject line from Darlene in Connecticut. Eating salad with your comb is seriously messed up. You know that, right? And she's never refuted it. Silent as a graven image, which means she done it. She done it. But yeah. Who put the hair in my salad? You did, Amy. Waiter, there's a hair in my salad. Shh, everybody else will want one. Mm-hmm. That's for you, Darlene. Meanwhile, California fires. Matt in San Francisco says, if it was PG&E, there'd be a high body count. True. True that. They've already got one of those, you know. So that should, you know, that's, that's just, a, like I said, a good little reminder, but God, we can't keep up. By the way, Steve notes, you'll notice zero instances of the passive voice in my emails. It's good to have a project, Steve. Your emails have been strictly in the active voice. I agree. Hey, remember we were talking about the lawsuit that was filed by Dr. Stella Emanuel suing CNN to say that they made up the fact that she claimed that demons had sex with whatever. Never mind. Incubi, succubi. Yeah. Well, here we go. Remember when people wound up dead because they consumed an aquarium cleaner that had a component of hydroxychloroquine in it? The idiots are back. Mm-hmm. A report came out from the Daily Beast. Apparently, poison control centers are taking calls now from anti-maskers and anti-vaxxers and who happen to come down with the Rona. And once they come down with the Rona, they treat themselves with horse paste. Mm-hmm. Yeah, horse paste that contains that substance we've talked about in the past, ivermectin. And the doctors that go quack 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 are telling maggots to take it. Yep. And lo and behold, there they are, America's frontline doctors. That's a group of sawbones quacks out of a group formed in Texas. And a member of that group is, of course, Dr. Simone Gold, another member of America's frontline doctors, is, of course, Dr. Stella Emanuel, the woman who says that demons make men's members. They take the demons, take the manhood and hide it under the sea, and then you can't have a re-rection anymore. Huh? Yeah, the Daily Beast reported today, devotees have besieged pharmacists with prescriptions from shady online prescribers, forcing pharmacies to crack down and treat the anti-parasitic drugs like opioids. Really? And why would a pharmacy have ivermectin behind the counter at a human pharmacy? I've never gone to a pharmacy to get, heartworm medicine or flea powder or anything like that for the critters. No. But the Daily Beast went on and said, as human-approved ivermectin prescriptions have been harder to come by, enthusiasts have taken to raiding rural tractor supply stores. I mean, that's all little letters and everything, but there's actually a business, a chain of store called Tractor Supply, and I guess you can buy ivermectin and ivermectin horse paste. It's apple-flavored, it tells you on the label. And it also comes in sheep drench, which I think once upon a time was known as sheep dip, until, maggots and other various and sundry Republicans are, well, I've never been crazy about mutton, but sheep dip sounds kind of tasty. Do you use corn chip with that, or a potato chip, or maybe vegetables? They are, after all, vegetarians, the sheeps. And so maggots are weighing the benefits of taking ivermectin sheep dip or a noromectin injection for swine and cattle. It's a death cult. Jesus, jumping Christ, it is. It's a death cult. Speaking anonymously to the Daily Beast, a poison control specialist in, of course, Texas, said there's been a noticeable uptick in the number of ivermectin calls. The irony is, in severe ivermectin overdose, patients will end up needing to be intubated to protect their airway. Meanwhile, a lot of them are taking the ivermectin to allegedly treat their COVID to avoid ultimately being intubated and placed on a ventilator. That's what the poison control specialist, who wants to remain anonymous because the poison control specialist is in Texas, and an anti-vax or anti-masker, a gang of them probably burn question marks on their yard. Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And we're going to be having these stories for a while. Let's check in with, let's check in across the pond with 58-year-old Leslie Lorenzen. 58 years old. I always cringe a little bit when I see a story about somebody who's 58, because that means they've been on the planet as long as I have, more or less. And this one was some sort of law graduate, because he's a solicitor. You know, the barristers in England are the merry oldie. They're the ones that get to wear the funny wigs and the funny robes. A solicitor just sits around and does, you know, contracts and estates and wills and real estate transactions and the like. Solicitor Leslie Lorenzen, I suppose, was a solicitor in Bournemouth, Dorset, England, and these are just going to keep piling up. He went to Cambridge, and I don't mean Massachusetts. And he was on social media back in June, in which he said, "My COVID symptoms are no worse than a cold. And you know, getting sick is just, well, it's part of life. I'm glad I got the COVID-19. And he refused to be vaccinated. No, I don't feel I need it. I've had no underlying health problems. I'm in tip-top health. Well, Solicitor Leslie Lorenzen is dead. And his partner, Amanda Mitchell, says, I feel incredibly foolish. Ness died unnecessarily. Les made a terrible mistake, and he's paid the ultimate price for that. It was a daily thing that he said to us. You don't need to have it. You'll be fine. Just be careful. Chin up. Stiff upper lip. Get COVID and carry on. Les was highly educated, so if he told me something, I tended to believe it. Oops! Jesus Christ. So that's, you know, that's one. Let's stay on the Sceptred Isle, however, and check in with 56-year-old David Parker, who is also singing with the Choir Eternal, according to the Daily Mail. And he, of course, went online to make fun of people who took an experimental vaccine. Yes. I have no underlying medical conditions. Why would I need an experimental vaccine? Well, that's because, well, I mean, after all, and he really wrote this, when research is done into who finances the media, it leads to the pharmaceutical companies. Who knows who's right or wrong? If I'm wrong, I'll hold my hand up, but I will not stay silent. No, you won't, and yes, you will, because you're fucking dead. And, he is. He went off to be with blue-eyed, blonde-haired Jesus back on Monday. He owned a popular watering hole. He was a publican, to use that merry oldie English language. He ran a nightclub. Mm-hmm. And he once put a meme on social media that had someone wearing a hat made of aluminum foil, and the caption said, "When you realize your tinfoil hat has less aluminum than a vaccine." Right. And he was careful to be stealthy about what he said about the vaccine because, well, you know, the social media algorithms are looking for the words COVID or vaccine, and they wanted to make sure that they could spread disinformation about same without the algorithms picked up. So he was a member of the Unvaccinated Arms, and they preach don't use COVID or vaccine in your message, and that way there won't be any content restrictions. Right. Meanwhile, speaking to the Sun tabloid over in the UK, a family friend said, "This family are devastated. They were very close and loved each other dearly. But despite their terrible loss, they would like it to be known that they're encouraging everyone to please get vaccinated because they don't want others to suffer as they are now." Good God. Hard to imagine this is the same country that held out all by themselves against the fucking Nazis in 1940, but it is. It's just that they're the offspring of that generation doesn't seem to quite have the same starch. Just like we don't. Oh, well. Oh, well. Goodbye. Yes. Goodbye, David. Goodbye, Leslie. You will be missed by... by someone, I suppose. Yes. Yes. Don't know if this... if I didn't know this was hoss and pepper, I'd swear it was a carrot. Yeah. Non-obligatory Bugs Bunny cartoon line for the evening. Yeah. Horse paste. The password is sheep dip. Mm-hmm. Earlier, don't tell me. Horse paste? Yes, horse paste, Steve. Who added, "I'm sensing a financial opportunity. Horn Nutraceuticals pharmacy grade hemlock for maggot consumption. Cheaper than horse paste without the chalky taste." Well known since ancient times, it's highfalutin hemlock from Horn Nutraceuticals. Cures what ails you. You'll never have another problem again. Oh, God. Lee in New York. Apple-flavored ivermectin. Thanks for the ivermectin, Wilbur. Said Mr. Ed, last name redacted. Oh, that's good. Ooh. A Mr. Ed reference. That's yes, that's quality. And then Agnes looked at me a little bit ago with a happy sparkle in her eye and said, "Wait, it's Friday. We get a new episode of Tom Lasso." I said, "Ted Lasso." She said, "Why do I keep calling him Tom?" I don't know, but we get a new episode this evening, so that's what we're doing. I'm looking forward to it. Lee in New York's at Bournemouth. "I went to Poole, England, in Bournemouth for work. Poole is a quiet harbor town. It was where Boy Scouts were founded in merry old England." Yes. Poole. Yeah, I mean, it would kind of almost have to be a harbor town, wouldn't it? Yeah. And I'm getting some photos in now. Photos are coming through. From Joey Jr. is, in fact, at his first game in Akron. Oh, that's a pretty ball yard there. Yeah. And Jr. is wearing his Indians mask, and he's got some a little rubber ducky necklace, or necklaces, festooned about his noggin. He looks terribly excited. Yes. Enjoy the game, Joey and Giraffrey and Giraffrey Jr. Yeah. Oh, and as we move toward the end of the first hour and the beginning of the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable conversation, just, well, a little confirmation of something I've been saying a lot lately. The thing I've been saying a lot lately, of course, is y'all, they're going to do it again. And they are. Matt Brainard, the brain in whose name is no reflection of what's sloshing around between his ears, he's a maggot, and he's announced that he's having his very own event on September the 18th. "We're going back to the Capitol right where it started, and it's going to be huge."
Huge.
As we continue to raise the profiles of these individuals who've been arrested, it makes it harder and harder for the left's phony narrative about an insurrection to stick. We're going to push back on the phony narrative that there was an insurrection by doing it again. I added the "by doing it again" part. Right. They're calling it the Justice for J6 rally. No kidding. The story's over at Huffington Post. We're going back to the Capitol. Ex-Trump campaign official announces huge protest. Yeah. September 18th at the Capitol. Brainard heads a dodgy little skeevy group called Look Ahead America. Mm-hmm. And he was interviewed over on that program run by that guy who looks like hot dog smell, who was formerly affiliated with that website that rhymes with light and fart. Yeah. And, well, then, you know, we'll just keep an eye on it. Because they're going to do it again. And again. And again. Oh, there's another group out now that is doing videos trying to highlight the toxic nature of the maggots and their insurrectionist nature. It's called Really American, and it's a super PAC. And they put together a super cut and wanted to pay Fox News TV Radio Rwanda to run it, but Fox News TV Radio Rwanda said, well, they initially cleared it, but then they decided they didn't want to run it after all, and they didn't give Really America really any kind of an excuse why.
The term domestic terrorism means activities that involve acts dangerous to human life that are a violation of the criminal laws of the United States or of any state, and B, appear to be intended to intimidate or coerce a civilian population, or to influence the policy of a government by intimidation or coercion.
What we were suggested that they was like something from a medieval bottle.
The crowd, perhaps around 20 people, joined in screaming, boo, fucking
I was grabbed, beaten, tased, all while being called a traitor to my country. I was at risk of being stripped of and killed with my own firearm as I heard chants of kill him with his own gun.
I could feel myself losing oxygen and recall thinking to myself, this is how I'm going to die. On January 6th, for the first time, I was more afraid to work at the Capitol than my entire deployment to Iraq.
If those responsible are not held accountable, and if Congress does not act responsibly, this will remain a cancer on our constitutional republic.
There can be no moving on without accountability. There can be no healing until we make sure this can't happen again.
Hashtag hold them accountable, reallyamerican.com. That is an unpaid placement here on Friday on the Front Porch on the Horn. Gotta wonder why, I mean, Fox News TV likes money.
I like money.
Sure. And they'll take money for just about anything else. Why do you reckon they don't want their couch-bound audience to see actual video footage from the first January 6th hearing back on July, 27th? Well, that's because Fox News TV Radio Rwanda has been doing everything in their power to keep them from knowing that it even happened. Yeah, isn't that charming? Really American said in a tweet, after an initial approval, Fox News has rejected our ad buy of January 6th testimony from Capitol Police officers 2 weeks ago. Further, Fox News refuses to put in writing why they're rejecting the ad. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I'm happy to help out and at least share the audio. Sure, sure. I guess we're blipping a little bit. Oh, dear. Sirens. How about that? Well, they appeared to go on past. Oh, dear. Somebody's having a bad day. Jack in Shreveport says, the video thing by Really American, Jack says, I think I liked the one you played a while ago that had the British narrator and the glitchy audio. It was funny. Yeah, I get that, Jack. As for the J6, Lee in New York says, I can just see the announcement on Facebook. Come to the Capitol to protest, just like January 6th. BYOW, bring your own weapons. Remember, keep this under your MAGA cap. Shh, tell only other prospective attendees. Right. About par for the course. Yeah. Oh, and Megan with a question. Can someone explain to the Horn Family Community Congregation what exactly will happen the next time these goons pull this shit now that Biden and Harris are in office? D.C. doesn't have statehood, so who's going to call the National Guard this time? Or are the Trumpers still at the head of that call? For that matter, are we going to have to wait another several hours watching some other American government building being attacked before anything's done? It remains to be seen. It depends. It depends largely on how froggy, now that there's not much going on in the way of actual criminal charges. I mean, 500 out of 12,500 isn't exactly the fullest extent of the law. Now, is it? Depends on how froggy the free percenters and the oath keepers and the Proud Boys and the Boogaloo Incel Tactical Command Headquarters executive staff are. Yeah. Yes, I did notice the rubber duck necklace, Joey. Just cute as can be. Junior is doing Papa and Grandpa proud. Mm-hmm. So, I think, like I said, we have a pretty good roadmap for, you know, where the conversation can go this evening. Hey, let's check in with NFL quarterback Kirk Cousins. He quarterbacks the Vikings. I presume our dear friend Jessica in Minnesota is a Vikings fan. I was a Vikings fan when I was little. Maybe it was the purple. I don't know. I think it was the horns on the helmet that, and the purple and the fact that they played in the frozen tundra, and I was growing up in a place where an inch of snow was martial law. Well, according to NBC Sports, Kirk Cousins, who is the Vikings quarterback, has lost an endorsement or spokes dude deal with Holland Hospital in Holland, Michigan. That's because Kirk Cousins comes from Holland, Michigan. He was a BMOC athlete at Holland Christian High School. Wait, Christian High School? It all becomes so much clearer now. Holland Hospital has announced that they want nothing more to do with Kirk Cousins as a spokesperson for their facility. They said, while we acknowledge that each person is entitled to their own viewpoints, those who speak on our behalf must support messages that align with the hospital's position on matters of vital importance to individual and community health. And so it was no surprise, given that Kirk Cousins was a pal of COVID Caligula, that he said, I made a personal choice not to get vaccinated. And he went on to be such a dick about it. And he said, well, all right, if I'm such an infection risk to my teammates, then I'll surround myself with plexiglass in the quarterback room. And, I mean, this is how smart Kirk Cousins is. He's already been exposed to a player, an infected teammate, and spent a week in quarantine and still refuses the vaccine. Jesus, these maggots. Is it really, you know, is it really worth their lives to maintain their loyalty? I mean, that's the kind of thing. that's the kind of thing that makes you, nah, sure, Nero, take me down to the Circus Maximus. Yeah, I'll take on a lion or two for you. Yeah, I mean, because I have faith.
Right. And, you know, the Steve in New York has been kind of hammering on the fact that it's Sturgis time again out in that that bioterrorist state, South Dakota. And so it is that CNN has sent folks out to interview Sturgis attendees. Yeah. Adrienne Broaddus asked a dude if he was going to get the vaccine. And the goddess of irony. Well, the goddess of irony was on the job, paying attention, and sending in some of her A material.
Vaccinated or not, tens of thousands, possibly hundreds of thousands of motorcycle enthusiasts are about to take over this small town in South Dakota, just as they've done every year for decades. This is the annual motorcycle rally. It starts
Hockey
this
puck.
Weekend, and as a precaution, the city is offering free COVID tests to anyone who wants one. Last year, there were outbreaks in at least six states linked back to this Sturgis rally, and right now, COVID cases are surging in South Dakota. CNN correspondent Adrienne Broaddus is there for us. Have you gotten a sense, Adrienne, of whether rallygoers are taking this Delta threat seriously?
You know, Anna, this might give you some perspective. More people are expected this year than last year. An estimated 700,000 people in this town of Sturgis, which is less than 7,000 when it comes to population. If you look, you can see motorcycles lining Main Street here in Sturgis, but not just Sturgis. Motorcycles go on for miles. I talked to riders. One woman told me she saved up her vacation time to be here for 10 days. When it comes to the Delta variant and the pandemic, that's not top of mind. Listen in. Are y'all concerned about COVID at all?
No.
What was that?
Unvaccinated.
Who did? My wife stayed home. My wife stayed home because she has COVID right now.
Are you concerned about COVID this year or the Delta?
No.
Why not?
Hell no. No, not where I am. Hell no.
Did you get the vaccine?
Hell no. I ain't getting it until they start telling me it isn't going to make you sterile and kill your ass. I don't trust it when it's not even approved yet, but...
As he coughs there.
Oh, yeah, it's going to make you sterile. You know what? Dead people are sterile. God, this country... In gatherings of idiots. Holy mackerel. Yeah, oh well. It's just, America. Yeah, and the city of Sturgis, the town of Sturgis is offering free COVID-19 test. I got a feeling they're going to be able to send them all back. Every last one of them. Just one last thing, though. The great debate over whether or not kids should wear masks in schools as they open, and they are opening even as we speak. You know, because we are an idiot nation, is actually a thing. No, really. There's actually, and you know, there's a kerfuffle between Ron Monkey Up DeKlantis and Joe Biden. I don't want to hear a blip about the COVID vaccine till he's secured the southern border. Oh, shut up. But, well, yeah, let's take it before we start our conversation over in the old holler tree around the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable. Let's take a quick trip to North Carolina, Stan. In particular to Buncombe County, North Carolina, where they had a school board meeting, and
a Karen showed up to bray and hoot and holler about masks. Hockey puck, please.
I am not leaving until you do a re-vote for the people, by the people, and of the people. Now!
Yes!
Hi!
Yeah. Because, see, the school board had just voted to impose a mask mandate. Mm-hmm. And she wanted a revote. I guess she wanted revotes until she got the result that she wanted. She came there wearing a t-shirt that said, "Unmask our kids!" Why not just wear a t-shirt, lady, that says, "Kill our kids?" Because that's what she's asking for. There are school districts in California that are going to sue Governor Gavin Newsom for imposing a mask mandate. Ron Monkey Up DeClantis in Florida is going to sue individual school districts that have chosen to impose a mask mandate. And Karen here ain't going to leave. Well, but the problem is the school board just got up and they left and there weren't no revote. So I don't know if Karen's still standing there barking and grunting or I don't know. Maybe she's a prisoner of conscience now. Jesus, these people. So there we are. That is the Philip Robster for this Friday on the front porch. And we'll see what's going on in the old holler tree here in a second. Been looking forward to this conversation. I think it'll be a dandy. And remember, we have, we have $630 to go to finish funding for this first full week of August. And, well, I can't emphasize enough the importance of us actually fully funding. So, you know, fingers crossed, right? Yeah. Okay, let's run over and check in with Sparky. Hey, Sparky, how are you? Is this thing on?
Yeah, it looks a little bit different to me now that I got a moderated group going.
Excellent.
Because first started me in the call, and then it said call the group. So,
but we've got the merry little band is gathered together.
Well, as many as I put in, others will have to click the link.
Well, that was my next question. Is the link still working over there at headon.live?
Yeah, people are coming in.
Okay.
Scott just used it.
Okay. Yeah, there's Scott and Brother Bishop Steve. So clarify, if you want to get into the group, and Sparky hasn't invited you directly, then just use the button at headon.live, right?
Correct.
Okay. It's not that much different.
Not to you, but to me, because I'm the administrator of the group now, and Steve has got admin privileges, but only I can start the call.
Okay.
So no more false alarms.
Yeah, we had a few of those. So what, now, I mean, that photo that I mentioned at the beginning of the program with the Dixie Fire.
Yeah.
I've
been to that place. I know where it's at. I got a fire map. I posted a fire map in the chat.
Yeah.
It's a monster. The whole town of Chester, California has been evacuated. And if anybody out there knows where Lake Almanor is, it's about It's the fire's wrapped around the lake 3/4 of the way around. There's only one side that there's no fire burning up towards Westwood.
So can you, I mean, can you see the smoke from your place, or?
Yeah. You walk out back and try to see where the Mount Lassen is, and you can't see nothing. It's not too bad here, but I mean, looking to the east towards Lassen, oh, they've evacuated Lassen Park, closed it down.
And somebody's trying to reach me, and it's offering me a merge option. I'm going to try to merge them in. And apparently that doesn't work. So you need to use the button over at headon.live, whoever that is, that's trying to get into the conversation.
But that fire's burning up a lot of beautiful country. Just incinerated Greenville. Have you seen the pictures?
Oh, I did. Yeah, there's nothing left. And the reference I read said that town's been around since the gold rush.
Yeah. That area, all south of that in the Sierras there, there's little cities all over that all date back to the gold rush. Further south you go towards Grass Valley.
I saw something that said Greenville hasn't had fire anywhere near it in 100 years.
Probably.
Wow.
That I just drove through a little bit of that area. In 2 years ago, I was driving that road up to Susanville quite a bit to transfer my wife so she could go to Reno to see her son. Oh, man, it's beautiful country. And that lake's such a beautiful lake. If you were on the top of Mount Lassen, you can see the lake from the top of Lassen.
Wow. And what are they, I mean, are they, I was talking earlier about, you know, was it PG&E or do we know?
Yeah. What PG&E, I think.
Is it PG&E?
I think it was.
Son
I'm not
God.
Absolutely sure, but I know that I've heard a couple of fires may have been started by PG&E.
I'll be damned.
Just the high winds and the trees not trimmed.
And yet, so it's a little bit similar to what we have. Okay, so there's a little bit of a story involved here. The little shortcut that I take to get out to US 19 when I'm going to Fayetteville or Beckley or whatever runs through basically the forest. And right now, there is a decent-sized tree that has got blown over in a storm or whatever, and it is laying across, I don't know if it's a phone line or a power line, but they string these lines through the woods on toothpicks, basically. We've had this conversation before. It's hard to bury lines in mountain country. But it's just...
What would the line look like?
It's
a single strand?
It's a big, thick cable. I mean, you know, black.
Okay. It could be a telephone trunk line.
Yeah, I'm thinking it might be. But nonetheless, hanging out over the road, there is a downed tree that is not connected very well to any dirt at all. And it's laying against it's laying on the line, just hanging over the road. You know, hopefully when it finally snaps and goes through, there won't be any cars or people under it. But so far it's been there a week and nobody's shown up to do anything about it. It's part of the big windstorm that we had not too long back, and you know, the big stuff they came along and cut down, and this not so much. But it's the same principle. They have a right of way and the ability to cut, cut back away from, you know, away from the trees, or cut the trees back away from the lines. Do they do it? No. If you complain about it, do they do anything about it? Generally, no. So Frustrating. But it has much more horrifying consequences where you are, because power lines.
Well, I know in part of the area where the fire's burning, PG&E has some, like, many hydroelectric power plants on the river there. It comes down to you there. And so they've got to have, like, transmission lines or other shit that come and feed into those powerhouses. So, but
oh, I hear Grady.
Yep. He just come up and put his nose on me. He probably wants to go outside. Even though it's supposed to be over 100 degrees out there.
Oof. That sounds awful.
We'll see if you can get somebody else in to talk to you.
Okay.
I got to take him out.
Steve!
Blobbin, what's shaking, man?
Woman? Whatever.
Woman? God damn it. What the fuck is wrong with me? I'm sorry. I'm sorry, ma'am.
That's okay.
Start putting that M behind that.
That's okay.
Know?
No, that's okay. I'm just playing.
You're busting my balls, aren't you?
Something like that.
Yeah.
But, you know, got out and ran some errands and took care of some stuff and picked up some paperwork today. And it was a pretty day here. Real pretty day. And And last night I was talking to Todd about the god-awful Walmart brand Shake and Bake for pork chops. I mean, this is mundane as hell, but after having talked about it, I was like, because I was still bummed out, because it was so bland and so boring. So as soon as the program was over, I ran up to Piggly Wiggly and grabbed a little tray of like 4 tenderized pork cutlets and, by God, spent the extra money for some real Shake and Bake. And I was right. All the difference in the world. Every bit of the difference in the world. Just shocking. But it cleansed my taste buds. You know how that is. If you have something awful, you gotta, you know.
Oh, yeah, it cleanses the palate. That's why you have crackers before each wine tasted. I get it.
Yeah. So I'm a little bit better in that regard.
Yeah, it's just, you know, the political climate we find ourselves in, it just seems to get more irritating. I thought we'd have this orange dickhead behind us, but it's not that away. And it's like you keep saying, this is going to happen again. I'm terrified, and I don't want to start the pork chop on a negative note. I don't want to do that, man.
No, go there. Go there. No, really, go there.
The 2022 elections, if that goes sideways, we're screwed, man. If we don't get this SB1/HB1 passed, we're screwed.
Yeah, no kidding.
And that's where all the marbles hang. I mean, I dig the Reconstruction and all that. I get it, you know. But we need to concentrate. We need to laser focus on HB1, SB1, so we can't get rat fucked out of future elections.
Well, that's the idea.
I don't quite understand how. I've read the law in Georgia, and maybe I got it wrong. But the way I'm hearing it now, I have friends telling me that the Georgia legislature can overturn the will of the people.
Well,
it's
not just the Georgia legislature. I mean, that's the way they wrote the bill. But they did that. They wrote that into the bill based on dictum from the Supreme Court. And, you know, maybe Billable Rick or Steve would like to delve into that a little bit somewhere later in the conversation. But, yeah, bottom line, you can do that.
I feel like a real tool because I've been misinforming people. I read the bill, and the way I understood it, they could only defer it down to the lower court or the lower jurisdiction, which in most cases where your conflicts are going to be is Fulton County, and it would go to them, which is would be, you know, it wouldn't be as bad as it appears on its face, but I think I'm incorrect with that assumption. I'm going to have to reread that.
It depends on how these maggot legislatures want to read it, Steve. You're not necessarily misinformed. but they've been.
I don't want to misinform other people. Though,
they've been. They've
Robin,
been.
That's my biggest concern.
No, I understand, but they've been given this dictum to play with by the Supreme Court, and now, and basically, what it says is that the state legislatures can prescribe the manner in which their electors shall be, you know, assigned or counted. And the maggot legislatures then took that to mean, hey, we can call ourselves into session, or we can be called into session, or we can be in session by virtue of you know, certifying an election. Just say, hey, we didn't like the outcome, so fuck it. That's what they think they can do.
Jesus Christ. Now, see, the way I understood it, the way I read it, and I read the whole bill, and it took me 2 or 3 hours, is they could defer it to the powers that be of Fulton County, which is fine because Fulton County is solid blue. And that's generally who's making – that's what flipped Georgia. Let's face it. Let's be real about it. If it was up to Hooterville or Marge's Corner up there in Northwest, Georgia would never be blue, ever. Or even where I live, you know, where you visited a couple of years back.
Yeah, or Coweta County.
Yeah. Or the place where they sell, you know, pharmaceuticals and guns at the same facility.
I remember seeing it.
There's no way this place is ever going to go blue. But if all the marbles lie in Fulton County, then on its face, it's not as bad as it seemed. But I feel bad even saying that because I don't want to misinform people. And I guess we need to have Billable Rick or Steve or somebody with a bright legal mind drill down on this. But here's the thing, though, Robin. If SB1 or HB1 gets passed, it's all a moot point. Doesn't matter.
One would hope, yeah. But, you know, this is the whole dynamic, Steve, between, burglars and locks. You know, when you build a better lock, you automatically create a better quality. You know, it's you wind up.
It's an excellent analogy.
You wind up with better burglars, and in that example, you know, the Republicans are the burglars. So, even if we get HB1 and SB1, you still have to have a Supreme Court willing to enforce it, and not strike it down. And I'm not saying don't do it. I don't need an email saying, you know, goddamn you goddamn neoliberal establishment shill. Why do you have to shit on our fun all the time? But the fact of the matter is, if those bills were to be passed the Senate and be signed into law, some Republican outfit will immediately challenge them as being unconstitutional.
States' rights. And that's what they would play on, isn't it? Violation of states' rights.
Among other things.
Yep.
Yeah.
And let me ask you a question while I have you. It seems like you get out in front of everything. Do you get a lot of hateful emails for every comment that you say?
Not for every comment, no.
Okay. My God, your emails must be just blowing up all the time.
Oh,
man.
Some of them are pretty fun. I'm looking at, I still have to set up an email address just for Robin because.
Or can you, now, I don't want to get too far in the weeds on the tech side of this, but can you have, like, Bob Kincaid automatically forward to Robin for a time frame until people get used to it?
Yeah, that's one of the possibilities. Sure.
Yeah, I would look into that. But there's Chris. Chris is in the room. Chris, what are you doing, man? I see him, but I can't hear
guys.
Him.
Hey,
Chris.
How
are you?
Talk to Chris a minute, Bob. I got to let Cletus out. She's driving me nuts.
Hey, Cletus.
I just got back from the Taco Bell with Inga.
Good talking to you, Robin.
Oh, good talking to you, Steve. It's always a pleasure. What did Inga do to deserve being taken to Taco Bell? What's wrong with it? Did she shit in your shoes or something?
No, she doesn't do that to me. She just shits in the yard, and I got my shovel. It's my, you know how if you were going to make an action figure, you know, Han Solo's got the pistol and all that, it would be a shit shovel for me if you made an action figure of me. It's pretty much all I do is get in the yard with the shovel.
Okay, here we go again. If you are listening to the program, whoever is calling in, you need to use headon.live and get into the conversation that way, or else maybe try to get in through the stress line. But I can't bring you into the call. Someone is calling me, and I can't, and I'm trying. It tells me I can merge the call, but I don't think I can because Sparky is third stage guild navigator, and he decides what happens and what doesn't happen.
He did a good job. We do everything with prompts now, and it's real easy. You just type it in, and I don't want to even go there. It's boring. Tech talk. Tech talk with Robin.
And Steve and Sparky.
Into the weeds with Robin and Steve and Sparky and Chris. And yeah.
So I was waiting all week long. We finally, this morning at 4 o'clock in the morning, was supposed to have some rain. Well, that didn't happen. And the clouds are just kind of circling overhead, taunting me, you know, telling me, you know, do I need to go to the garden and water for another hour? I don't know. The forecast has lied. So I'm a little ticked off about that. But I did take your advice on the green beans, and they were spectacular. So I really appreciate that, Robin.
Oh, awesome, Chris. Awesome. Awesome. So which method did you use?
I used the shock. So I boiled them for just a little bit, and then I shocked them in the water, like you said. And then I had some bacon grease left over. So I used, instead of butter or the olive oil that was recommended, I used the bacon grease instead, and that was really good.
Well played. Well played. The bacon grease makes everything better.
It certainly does. So that's all that's going on. I mean, yeah, I hair on fire moment. From what I've heard from Glenn Kirchner, how do you – Kirchner?
Kirchner.
Is that a – we need to have hair on fire because from what I understand, the legislatures, the state legislatures, can choose their method of choosing their electors.
They absolutely can. Steve in New York was just kind enough to provide me with some language. Article 2, Section 1, Clause 2, Constitution of the United States. Each state, and listen up, here we go. Each state shall appoint in such manner as the legislature thereof may direct a number of electors equal to the whole number of senators and representatives to which the state may be entitled in the Congress, but no senator or representative or person holding an office of trust or profit under the United States shall be appointed an elector. Steve says, my read is that as much as we may not like it, the Constitution gives the legislature plenary power to choose its electors however it damned well wants.
Yeah, it could do it through, pin the tail on the donkey. Or tiddlywinks, you know,
pitch pennies, mumble peg.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, exactly. Whoever has the least amount of melanin in their skin,
That's going to be big in places like Alabama and Mississippi Stan and Texas Stan.
And Arizona.
Yeah, Stan.
Yeah, I mean, they could choose it however they want. It's petrifying. It's absolutely petrifying.
Well, we found another one of those relics from our vicious enslavement past. Beautiful. Yeah.
Yeah, they keep haunting us, huh?
They do.
Until we really get the white out and really dig in deep and get all that shit out of there, it's going to keep haunting us.
Oh, and by the way, I'd like to put this out there. Alma, our dear friend Alma, has put forward a hair on fire challenge of $50. So the next $50 gets not doubled, but tripled, because when it's met, she's kicking in another 50. Thank you so much. Thank you so very much for helping out and getting us started. That would get us down to... let's see, 6, 3, 2, 5. That'd get us down to 480. We would be $180 away from being fully funded for, you know, yesterday. So, thank you, Alma, and I hope people will respond. And since we do have the Friday on the Front Porch gang getting together, just a quick update. Over at GoFundBob.com, which is the easiest way to get there, I finally got around to putting up the great big, oh my God, horn in post. Explaining.
Good job, Robin. I will have a look at that.
Explaining all the particulars of what we're going to do. And, you know, I want this to be such a party. And I think it really can be. And by the way, this is the big news. Tara, the magnificent and wonderful Tara Devlin, has confirmed her attendance. So it'll be a chance to hang out with, you know, me, Tara, Chris in Germany, Roger, David in San Diego is coming. I hope I haven't met Tracy's going to be there. I mean, it's already an awesome bash. Now all we need to do is add more awesomeness. So yeah, have a look, Chris. I'd love to see you there. There's all kinds of, and you know, it's going to stay open. It's going to stay open till mid-September at least, unless it fills up before then.
And what's the name of that bar? Did you say it was Margie's?
Maggie's.
So they'll have the karaoke there.
Yeah, they do. Every, I think, Saturday and Sunday nights, and sometimes Mondays, I don't know. But that should be, that'll be a blast, and there's all kinds of local musicians that I'm friends with. Get somebody, you know, have somebody in and playing. Andrew Adkins comes to mind. He's amazing. And, of course, the food, all the different barbecue and the dirty gravy and the sausage gravy and the biscuits and the... Nobody's going to go away hungry. Let's put it that way.
Kaneka? I've never had Kaneka.
Oh, there's going to be Kaneka in everything.
All right, good.
And most, all right, sounds great. Yeah, most especially that pickled Kaneka I came up with early this summer. Oh my God, it's amazing.
I remember you talking about that, Robin. It sounded amazing.
And the longer it pickles, the better it gets. And then you take it out and you split it and you grill it real quick and put it on a hot dog bun with the hot slaw. Whoo! Yeah, it's good. It's real good.
I went to the farmer's market and picked up a whole bunch of jalapenos. They had like a special, you know, they were selling them what to me looked like a good price. And what I've been doing is I've been keeping all that pickle brine like you've been talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been putting those jalapenos in that pickle brine for like maybe a few months, like 2 or 3 months.
Well, but if it's going to be months, you've got to can it.
Oh, like Roger talks about, right?
Yeah. Yeah, you got it. I mean, months, you know, if you want to do it for a week or so, but no, you want to can it. You want to make sure that you're killing any pathogens, so.
Okay. All right.
But you want to, but
well,
you
thanks
wanna,
for telling me that.
Yeah, you also want to make sure that you've got your acidity, and you know, Roger could speak to this. You want at least 50% of a 5% acid solution. I think
okay.
I got that right. Yeah. But you know, you can get the ball canning jar or ball canning guide, and it'll walk you through everything.
Okay, cool. Thanks.
Yeah. Oh.
I don't want to kill myself on freaking jalapenos.
Yeah, no, you don't want to die for that. No. And
that'd be bad.
Oh, and I need to add in another challenge has come to the table courtesy of Charlene in Rogues Island. I'm offering up a $50 Richard Trumka challenge. Trumka started in the coal mines, as did my great-grandfather, and rose up through the Union, as did my great-grandfather. If matched this evening, I'll add 25 bucks more, and that would get us, let's see, down to, that would get us down to 355. We'd be 55 bucks away from finishing with yesterday's fundraising, so that's tremendous. Thank you, Charlene. Thank you so very much. Pair of challenges now. The Hair on Fire challenge, courtesy of Alma, and the Richard Trumka challenge in his memory, courtesy of Charlene in Rogues Island. Thank you both so much. Someone is going to say something?
I was going to ask you, how many reverse pineapples were used in Hell today, Robin?
It's infinity plus one, Jeremy. That's how things work in the spirit realm. Infinity plus one. And Scott in San Diego has his hand up. Hey, Scott.
Hello. I see. Can you hear me?
I do.
Huh, that's weird. My little icon still has the hand. Show him the hand.
Yeah, nobody's taken the hand down yet. Just a minute.
Normally it goes away. Or do I have to do that?
Well, other people can too, but...
Oh, never mind. It's no big deal.
I did it for you.
Thank you, Sparky.
Bless your heart and your liver and all your other vital organs, Sparky. You're a true blue American boy. I'll tell you what. I need to tap in.
That's what my discharge says.
Well, I'd see a doctor. Let's see. We don't have to cut that off. It's going to fall off in about 10 minutes. Okay, I got to tap into the collective consciousness of the Horn family. My friend Gretchen up in Michigan, who used to live in Chicago, who I knew from Live Journal, if anybody remembers Live Journal, back when that was the means of blogging and communication, on election night 2008, she was in Grant. Was it Grant Park in Chicago?
Yes, that's where.
For the big.
Right. That's my old stomping ground, Scott. Yep.
The big victory garden for Barack Obama on election night 2008, and she, a lovely creature that she is, called me from the event because she knew I couldn't be there, but she wanted me to be part of it, and we literally wept on the phone to each other out of sheer happiness. Boy, I'll never forget that night. But anyway, on her Facebook, there is something that she has posted, and I don't know what the hell it means, and that's where the tapping into the Horn family consciousness part comes in. It says, by replacing your morning coffee with green tea, you can lose up to 87% of what little joy you have left in your life. What does that mean?
That's
an anti-tea post, or am I just devoid of humor today? I don't get it. Is green tea bad?
No, it's not bad, but it's not coffee. There's no comparison.
It's a thing back east. I think.
Well, I don't want to lose any more joy than I already have, so... Oh, I thought somebody was gargling.
No, Inga's just going nuts.
Just to prove a point.
I mean, look at what we had to do to wean your ass off the Nescafe.
Yeah, but I mean, you took Inga to Taco Bell. What do you expect?
Yeah, I watched on PBS the other night. I don't know if it was on all the affiliates, but they showed it here in San Diego, a documentary film about Louis Armstrong. The title of which was Satchmo. And apparently, I never knew this, Louis was smoked pot every day, but was also a big fan of a laxative product, if I can say that on the radio, called...
You can say whatever the fuck you want.
Well, yeah, thank you for reiterating the standards and practices. Thank you for serving as the standards and practices department of the Horn, Chris.
Call HR if you got a problem.
No shit. Okay. Anyway, Louis Armstrong, in addition to being a pothead and a great jazz musician, endorsed, you may as well say, a laxative product from the 1920s, and it's still available, called Swiss Chris. Swiss like Swiss, and Chris, K-R-I-S-S. And apparently, this will...
I knew it was good for something.
You will leave all your troubles behind, according to Louis.
I think that's a little bit, it's all your troubles will leave via your behind. But
that too. He said the first time that he used it, he said it sounded like applause. and he had to crawl back to his bed. He was so depleted. But I don't.
Thank you. We're halfway through the program, Scott, and I cannot thank you enough for going ahead and just getting it over with and taking the program right into the gutter.
Well, let me elevate it, the tone.
I don't think you can.
Well,
the damage
anyway.
Is done. The barn door is open.
Anyway, if you can find that documentary, check your PBS website and see what it says. It's called Satchmo, and he was a lovely man.
Oh, yeah. I heard about this years ago in another documentary about him. You were talking about him being a lifelong cannabis user.
Oh, yes.
In his notes, and you know, the people who do musical history and whatnot,
yeah,
and get way down in the weeds, for a while they were trying to, they couldn't solve a problem that they had, because in his notes, he would list this one guy in, you know, he'd go to one city to another, and in his notes it said, you know, name and hyphen and arrangements. And none of the musicologists or music historians had ever heard of any of these guys as being noteworthy arrangers in Louis Armstrong's band. Well, arrangements was his word in his notes for his connection. You know, his weed guy. The guy. His guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. As in, call the guy, and the guy
call
can sometimes...
The guy.
Yes, then the
arrange
guy can sometimes...
yourself a little weed. Right?
Yeah, arranger, little. Arrangements.
Yes, indeed. Well, what can I mean? I mean, watching this documentary, it pointed out, and you could hear it if you sat and listened to the music. Looking back on it, it seems rather simplistic, but when you really listen to what the man is doing on that horn of his, it's spectacular. You don't even have to be high to see what an artist he was. Anyway, I that's my TV viewing tip.
Well, somebody out there has got to watch. Stop telling us what to watch, Robin. Right, before anybody can do that. Somebody's got to watch Ted Lasso.
Well, you know, I keep seeing stuff about it. What the hell is it?
Well, one, it's on Apple TV, and nobody has Apple TV.
Well, I'm not likely to see it.
My friend has it in England, and he told me about it. But yeah, I don't have Apple TV, and
someone else have Apple TV.
Jeremy's special.
Okay, Jeremy, then you've just drawn the booby.
When we do the first live, Robin, stop telling us we have Apple TV.
Yeah.
Okay, there's that too. Yes. You got to check out Ted Lasso, or as Agnes calls it, Tom Lasso. But you won't find Tom Lasso, but Ted Lasso will show up. It's not. It's about, it's one of those improbable things. Jason Sudeikis plays a guy who was a college football coach, and he took a Division II team to the national championship, and so he gets hired to coach a middling, perennial, underperforming English Premier League football team. And it is, and I've said before, I'm running out of superlatives for it. It's not highfalutin intellectual, but it is brilliant comedy. And it's comedy that doesn't have to kick down. It's comedy that's not making fun of anybody. And it's got this beautifully diverse cast, and the writing is sparkling and spectacular, and it's funny as hell, or at least to me.
I'm sorry I don't have Apple TV. See, Steve in Georgetown sent me an urgent text message the other night saying I should tune in and watch this thing on, I guess it was Hulu. That's another channel I don't have.
Peacock. Get a week for free, brother.
Well, but can you
Goddamn
get out of it?
That show is addictive.
Can you get out of it?
Yeah.
Because I've tried some of these free week deals or free whatever deals, and you've got to jump through flaming barbed wire.
No, oops, man. Here's what you do, Scott. You join it, and then the next day you cancel it. But you still get that solid week. It won't cancel it till the week's end. Make sense?
No, no. We all did all the free AOL trial that lasted 30 years.
I'm still okay, Jeremy.
No, I still get the
deafening cowbell.
The floppy disks still show up in my mail.
They're piling up pineapples for me in hell because I actually worked telemarketing back at the beginning of the century. Pitching people on AOL for broadband. No, you really want this. Oh, God.
Pardon me.
Jeez. And, you know, the genius of the marketing department that hired people to telemarket AOL for broadband, which was just AOL. Let's be clear. It was just AOL. Wow. Optimized for broadband. When the entire country gave up the use of coffee coasters in lieu of just using the fucking AOL discs that miraculously appeared day after day after day in your mail. But there we were.
So, well, the tooth fairy would leave them under your pillow like a kid, you know, waiting for that shiny quarter for the lost tooth. I'd wake up in the morning and I thought, Steve Case has been in my room. You know?
Right.
Putting floppies under my pillow. Jesus. There's a name from the past. What is he up to?
Or down Steve to. Case. I don't even know if he's still alive.
Really?
I presume, but yeah. I got thank yous to send out, or a thank you to send out. Thank you very kindly to our pal Scott in Wisconsin. Scott just jumped right out there and met both Charlene's Richard Trumka challenge and Alma's Hair on Fire challenge. And so, yeah, we're down to, what was that? Let's see, some attorney. All right. 355, yeah. $55, and we are done with Thursday, and $355, and we are done with the week. So we're halfway. Almost halfway to a Friday on the Front Porch Community Made Miracle. Thank you. Thank you to Scott, and thank you to Charlene, and thank you to Alma. Thank you so very kindly. And thank you, Jeremy, for answering Joey and Giraffe's challenge there at the ball game. Steve Case is still very much alive and a billionaire. No.
Well, one more thing.
Can't have everything.
And it's on kind of a sad note. Oh, you, Robin, and the members of the Horn family will want to put their Mr. Microphones at half staff.
I saw this.
Because Ron Popeil has died about a week or so ago. The gadget guy. The Vegematic guy.
Hey, baby, we'll be back to pick you up later.
The Mr. Microphone guy. The
Popeil's pocket fisherman.
Oh, beat me to it.
I wanted him so much to invent a pocket fish so I could go fishing in my pants, but he never did. So
you just
I
won't quit, will you? You're determined
no,
to
won't.
Get this program in the gutter and keep it there.
Well, listen, I.
But you know,
the thing is,
you don't. You, everybody mentions the pocket fisherman, and was he behind the Ginsu?
No, that was another outfit.
Okay, but he was behind Ronco Records.
Oh, yes. As a matter of fact, I was going to commend to you, there's a YouTube video. It runs about a half hour, and it's an endless series of Popeil commercials, Ronco commercials. And I had forgotten. Remember the smokeless ashtray?
Oh, yes. Yes, yes.
Remember the thing that cleaned your record albums? The record cleaner?
Mm-hmm.
Was he behind the clapper?
No, that's another outfit. But I'm telling you, the guy was a zillionaire several times over.
Not to be confused with Marjorie Taylor Greene. She's also referred to as the clapper.
Well, no, wait a minute.
Hold on.
Spray on hair, yeah. Who was that there that just
said Stephen New York said, I just sprayed my hair with his scalp paint. Oh, thank you. Thank you. Steve jumped in on Alma's challenge as well, so that means we're down to 345. Did I just hear a pump spray bottle? Yeah.
The clapper needs a second kettlebell. That was fucking funny.
There.
Hey, I was pondering something. So Roger Ailes, when he passed away, right, and he went to his long home and went down under, and poor Lucifer was in such a quandary. He must have had to call up to the Dole plantation and say, hey, how big can you grow me them pineapples?
No, you're wrong. You're wrong. Because what I've been given to understand is that right after he died, they gave Roger Ailes an enema, and because of that, when he arrived in hell, he was only viewable through a scanning electron microscope that they have in hell, because he was so full of shit.
Well done.
Thank you.
Whose job was that? The final enema of Roger Ailes. Boy, that sounds like a documentary.
There are Republicans who are into such things. I read a lot. What can I tell you?
We've got from the Department of Corrections Department, Stephen New York notes, Marjorie Trader Gangrene Cueball is not the clapper. She has the clapper.
She be the clappy. Would that be right? Not the clapper, but the clappy?
Don't work it too hard, Scott.
All right. Jesus.
Steve from New York is the main word-knowing guy, so I'll defer to him.
Is Steve in the room, by the way, Steve in New York? No, I guess he's not.
No, he didn't answer the call.
Yeah, we are reminded of the Vegematic. And the thing about those Ronco records, if you recall, he couldn't be bothered to actually license the songs, so he just had them redone by Lounge Lizards. Having My Baby by Paul Anka was awful enough. It was worse when it was done by some unknown who sang in several keys at the same time.
This was before auto-tune, I guess.
Oh, very much. Someone's asking, why can't I get in?
Did they click join call?
I hope it's not that person from last week. That was just appalling.
No, it won't be that person from last week, I don't think.
Oh, here's another one, since we are memorializing the passing of Ron Popeil. Greg says, I bought great American inventor Ron Popeil's Showtime rotisserie oven, and you could indeed do what he said with it, set it and forget it. I took it everywhere with me traveling for the job so I could cook in my motel rooms. It was great for ribs and chicken and steaming veggies. How about that?
Somebody I knew had one of those, and they actually were quite the kitchen appliance, countertop appliance. I can't remember who it was, though. Oh, it was my second wife. That's probably why I forgot. I went to the doctor to have that portion of my brain burned away, except for that brief memory.
Thank you, Ron Popeil. Oh, and thank you, Ralphs. Ralphs just took us down to $335. We're $35 away from done with Thursday. Making progress.
And you know that you're a cultural phenomenon when Gallagher does a takeoff of your premier product in his stand-up act. Gallagher the comedian, is he still around?
I don't, but you're talking about Sledge-O-Matic?
Sledge-O-Matic.
Where everybody who showed up in the first four rows got a free garbage bag?
Yes, indeed. Just place this apple between the two patented pans. you'd have to see it. I used to love Gallagher. I guess he is still around. I haven't seen him for a while, though. Maybe he doesn't perform anymore. I don't know.
Hey, I got a tip for you guys.
Ooh, all right.
Yes?
Have you ever listened to Midas Touch podcast?
No, is that that's the pack?
Well, it's the three brothers that formed the pack. Yesterday, they had Malcolm Cimiotto, whatever that Pennsylvania member that's running for Senate on. It's pretty interesting. He was saying about 25% of the Republicans in the Pennsylvania legislature are batshit crazy. And the other 75% are chicken shit or scared to death.
That sounds about right. By the way, Gallagher is 75 years old, according to Lee, serving as the Horn Ad Hoc Research Department.
When he meets his demise, the melons will have their revenge.
Still not as bad as a pineapple. Did he ever smash a pineapple? I'll bet he did.
Revenge is sweet.
Anybody?
Silence is a radio killer, man.
Yes, it is.
I'm watching the chat for something. Oh, I can tell you that John won't be joining us tonight.
Is he still feeling crummy?
No, he's doing a live show right now.
Yeah, I know.
Travis throttled him yesterday.
Yeah, I saw that. Good on Travis.
John, but we do have Benjamin is over here instead over there with us.
Hey, Ben.
Ben.
Is John Bridevo still having trouble with his crazy neighbors? Is that what the drama is?
It could be. I never know. I haven't heard lately.
Yeah, I think.
Hi, Robin.
Yeah, I think that was the case. Hey, Ben.
Excited to join you guys tonight.
Glad you did.
You've been all set.
Yeah, I have a good time over here with you guys.
Yeah, dude, too bad. You've been causing all sorts of trouble on the Discord channel.
Yes.
No, I'm just kidding. But I enjoy all your posts. The posts of the Star Wars. Who was it that was in California for the Star Wars?
My 18-year-old cousin and her boyfriend. They went out there before they got to go back to school.
Nice. Yeah, those are cool picks.
Oh, and Gallagher, according to Ron and Raleigh, is still active. And he was born in Fort Bragg.
Huh.
The things we learn on this program.
If I'm not mistaken, wait a minute, hold on. If I'm not mistaken, I believe Gallagher's father was a diplomat. Somebody can check that out and let me know. I think I heard him on with Mark Maron about a year or two ago.
What was that, Scott? I'm sorry.
No, I think that I heard or read that the Gallagher's father was a diplomat.
Oh. My mom was always a huge fan, and when back in the day when you could get Showtime just all by itself, his specials were always on Showtime, so we would watch Gallagher all the time.
Yeah, and they were funny as hell.
Mm-hmm. Childhood memories.
I've got a serious note, and it sort of ties in with what Robin was talking about in the filler Robster. With the upcoming elections a year or so from now, and then in 2024, don't these Republicans understand the simple reality-based concept that dead people don't vote?
And they still bitch that dead people won the election for Kennedy in 60.
Well, no.
They swear by that.
I know that.
I know where Scott's going, and I've often thought that. Hell, it's like they're killing out their own base.
Well, that is where I'm going.
Okay.
And these, on the one hand, you hear a lot of these right-wing nut buckets always, screaming about life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, failing to grasp the simple notion that life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, if you want to have liberty and the pursuit of happiness, you've got to be alive. You've got to have life to engage in the other two.
It's hard to have feet on when you're dead.
Yeah.
I guess you're free
in the next world.
Must be I guess that's their definition of tyranny, is breathing.
Well, I don't know.
Yeah, well, one thing about that is...
You can't make me breathe.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
One thing about that is Mitch McConnell, how in the hell did he win when he only had 13%? And they said that there were several counties in Kentucky where there was only 10,000 registered voters and there was 13,000 votes in that county. And explain that to me.
Well, and
it's
interesting you would bring that up because...
Have you ever lived in Kentucky?
It's interesting you would bring that up.
I lived there for a while in the mid-90s.
Am I even here?
I'm telling you. It was an adventure. I'm sorry, Robin. Go
no, it's okay. Sometimes I'm not here and I'm just talking and I wasn't being an asshole.
No, we heard you.
It's interesting. It is interesting that you would bring that up because our buddy Scott in Wisconsin brought up the same point. He said, I have two questions. Why haven't the ES&S voting machines been examined? You know, the ones used in Kentucky, Iowa, Montana, South Carolina, and other maggot states. The Kentucky example is a damn good example. It's sketchy as shit. And it's a classic case of, Darlene comments on it so often. They project. They tell us what they tell you what they're either going to do or already have done by way of accusing someone else of something. And so with all the blather about Dominion, it kind of makes you wonder if ES&S was sketchy as shit. Because, a county that never voted for Mitch McConnell went for Mitch McConnell in the last senatorial election.
And he's not a well-liked individual.
No, okay, his numbers in Kentucky are for
bacon?
Shit.
Yeah, okay, but he's one of the most hated people in the country, on the planet.
Yeah.
But he won. Just like Precious Lindsay. I think that's full of shit, too. That election stunk.
Hey, Chris?
Yeah?
You know the saying, he might be a bastard, but he's our bastard.
There you go. Very well said.
And speaking of COVID-19 and, Scott talking about, do they realize they're killing their own electorate? The dateline is Kansas City, Missouri. Okay, so you've got Sturgis already going on, and I had the clip earlier of the guy saying, no, I ain't worried about it. I ain't going to get that vaccine because it makes you sterile. And I tell you what, he was a specimen of American manhood. I want you to know. I got the fam tods. And then he said, no, I'm not going to get the vaccine. Oh, that. Well, there's that. And so it's off and running. I mean, the Rona, not the festival in Sturgis. Little ways south, however, in Kansas City, Missouri, the show me moron state, as Kenda pointed out. Well, come tomorrow, some 58,000 people are going to show up in Arrowhead Stadium tomorrow night for a big old Garth Brooks concert. You know, and the whole idea of being horizontally crucified on a ventilator with a garden hose down your throat gives an entirely new meaning to "I got friends in low places." You know, low, like 6 feet under the dirt.
Well said. Give yourself a cowbell for that.
Oh, thank you, Chris. Thank you. That's very generous of you, and I appreciate it. So, the Kansas Department of Health and Environment's travel quarantine list applies to anybody who attend any. Let me get the. Come on, scroll, damn it. To any out-of-state mass gatherings of 500 or more where individuals do not socially distance and wear a mask. So if you're from Kansas and you're crossing the line over to the complex there at Independence, Missouri, you have to quarantine for 7 days when you get back, if you get a negative test result at the end, or 10 days without testing after the event. Jesus. 58,000 people. 58,000 people.
There's more at a Chiefs game, isn't there? There's even more?
Yeah, I think so. Because, you know, the band takes up the band and the stage setting, and it takes up a lot more space. So Arrowhead Stadium said Wednesday that they've updated their safety policies. In accordance with the mask mandate in Kansas City, guests have to wear masks in enclosed public areas of the stadium unless they're eating or drinking. Oh, for God's sakes. That means they're not going to wear a mask when they go on the concourse to the hot dog and beer stand. And then once they got their hot dog and their beer in hand, "Oh, I ain't going to wear no mask. I'm eating and drinking." Jesus.
I know the 49ers are going to have a segregated stadium.
Oh, for vaccinated? That's awesome.
For vaccinated and unvaxxed?
And of course,
Marjorie Trader Gangrene Cueball thinks that that's just like being sent to Auschwitz.
Well, they already said the Kansas City Chiefs for football season that they're going to do a segregated stadium.
Well, I was sitting here thinking about that, what I'm about to say, the other night, because I do some of my best ruminating at night.
Do you ruminate in the room, Scott?
I just sit and ruminate. They have to come baste me every few minutes because I get so overheated from it.
And that's different from being a ruminant.
Yeah, I forget what that is, but I used to know.
So, that has to do with the constipation medications?
No, that's Swiss Chris you're thinking of.
Swiss Chris. I ain't Swiss, goddammit.
Well, you never mind. Check it on the replay. You'll get a laugh. What the hell was I going to say now? Damn it. I do this. No, I was sitting here ruminating the other night about, I don't know how it was where you all live, where you could walk around with a slight sense of confidence that we were on the right track, and we could go mask-free, at least outdoors, and some places indoors. And that lasted all of 3 weeks out here anyway.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
And it's like, people, would you kindly take your heads out of your collective asses and get in touch with not God, but reality? You're getting in everybody's way. A friend of mine was posting online about this, a grade school a friend from Catholic grade school in the 60s, Marie, up in the L.A. area, about this COVID thing and just how stupid, willful morons these people are with the vaccinations and being anti-mask and anti-responsibility. It's ironic that the party that used to preach personal responsibility, well, that's gone out the fucking window, you know? And they don't want everybody to be okay. If there's a way to fuck everybody else up, it's like you're in a classroom with 50 students and there's two asshats in the back row whose activities get the rest of the class punished. Just like in Catholic schools in the 60s. And those fucking nuns were dead serious about order in the classroom. And you did some hard time writing, I will not disturb the class 500 times, okay? And standing in the corner, and sometimes they'd hit you, okay? And we need nuns in charge of this COVID compliance.
Yeah.
Get my
did you play the clip of... Scott.
My fifth grade math teacher, I swear to Christ, this was her name, Sister Domitilla. She was the only...
we've heard about her, yeah.
I swear to God, you can look it up. Sister Domitilla was my math teacher in fifth grade, and she had a personality to match her name. She was the only nun in the Sisters of the Holy Cross who was had an exemption to wear a leather habit, and she rode a motorcycle, but only to church and bingo.
Jesus.
She really? Was a mean, mean woman. And you've got to figure that the worst position to be in is to be in a religious community, exposing yourself to kids with a personality and an attitude like that. Totally unsuited for dealing with children and other human beings. But it's we need somebody like Sister Domitilla to get these ass hats in line.
Hey, Scott.
Yes, sir.
This is Steve up in New York, by the way.
I recognized your voice.
Coke and taco. I don't know what else to say to that. I'm going to go out. Yeah, I'm going to actually disagree. I think she was perfect for kids because she certainly made you a good and decent and thoughtful person.
Well, you may very well be right.
But at the same time, your larger point is correct. That's who we need with the ruler in hand, who is slapping these fuckers in the hand saying, no, you don't go in there until you go get over there and get your shot. Yeah, that's what we need.
Personal responsibility.
Well,
that they used to beat the drum about.
You know what? Bullshit.
The other thing, did you hear the clip? Go ahead.
Just a sec. We need to have the nuns that we need are not these like liberal nuns like who was the one Susan Sarandon played in Dead Man Walking? Sister Prejean.
Yep.
We don't need the nuns who like dress in regular clothing and you know are the ones focused on the poor and stuff. We need the ones who are like, you know, the flying nuns who have the habits and who look like Sally Field. Wait a minute. Sally Field, and they look like Meryl Streep in the movie Doubt.
And Lilies of the Field, that horrible thing.
Wait, did you just say and or?
No.
No, I said that was a great movie. Doubt was a great movie.
I thought I heard somebody say and or.
Well, I said or and Lilies of the Field. And is part of the title of the movie.
You know how I am about... I've got two things that I'm on a jihad about.
Yeah, I know.
It's not that I don't love you. It's just that I love you mostly.
You are annoyed by the passive voice.
And I'm annoyed by and/or because it doesn't fucking mean anything. But I digress. We're not.
Can I ask a quick question that piggybacks on what you said and what Scott said about personal responsibility?
No.
And the horse shit?
No.
Did anyone hear the clip?
Wait a minute. I said no.
Did anyone hear the clip from the Burger King, Ted Cruz?
Oh, wait a minute. Wait
you
a minute.
Have that, Robin?
Wait a minute. Robin, did you hear that? The Burger King.
Yes.
That's cowbell worthy. I've never heard it before, but that's definitely cowbell worthy.
That's right up there with her. That's right up there with. That's right up.
Flying nuns in Brazil.
That's right up there with referring to that place that sells really bad chicken as Bigot Bird.
Big and Bird. That's great.
Big Bird and Booger King. But Booger King
works because their motto for a long time at Burger King was home of the Whopper. And who knows more about telling Whoppers than Ted Cruz?
I mean, Booger King himself, yes.
And listen, we have what we call a Goocher. Anyone ever see the movie Stand By Me?
Yeah.
Remember when one of the, I don't remember which one, threw the dice and they were all the same number was a Goocher? We just had three things come together. We had Booger, we had King, and we had Whopper. All came together, and we came up with Booger King, creator of the Whopper. Way to go, Scott. God damn it. By the way, watch out in your mail.
Ooh, you've got surprise. Mail? I was chomping at the bit and biting my tongue at the same time, if that's conceivably possible. I was going to ask for
a hint. Mr. Ed.
I was going to ask for a hint.
You were wondering why Robin and I asked for your address, right?
Well, no, Robin never asked. That's right. Did you ever get in touch with me, Robin? Steve said you were trying to get... Well, obviously, but I haven't heard from you, you didn't.
I thought I did.
Okay. In any event, anyway. Scott, just keep watching.
Yeah, somebody collecting hey, bottles.
Right. And when you and when you and I'm Scott getting a beer. And Scott, sorry. When you least expect it.
Okay, well that
hey, Robin, you want to hear something screwed up that's going on in Missouri?
No. Do
Scott,
tell.
I just wanted to tell you something real quick, and then I promise everybody I'll shut up. Scott, you've gained a place in my heart.
Oh, well, that's good.
You have a.
What
you,
did I do?
Listen, and as much as I, not to put too fine a point on it, find your optimism
highly irritating.
No, annoying yet refreshing.
Okay.
You have a very special place in my heart because I think an idealist, unidealistic, which you are, person. Come on, I'm not. This is not. These aren't pejoratives. An idealistic person who talks about a more decent time and remembers a more decent time is somebody who has a real voice who needs to be a constant reminder of number one, how things could be, and while they weren't quite that way in years past, they were more in years past than they are now. Somebody who reminds us of how things were, which means
and could be again, right?
I was just going to say and could be again.
And so well, we're back to my previous Once and Future King reference.
Yeah. And can I just say something, Robin, or I'll say something to Scott, too. We all remember Nancy Landon Kassebaum, right? She was a senator from
Kansas.
Can you imagine her or Howard Baker or any of those folks looking at what happened on January 6th and pulling the shit that Ted fuck Cruz and Josh Hawley are saying?
Eventually, no, Steve. Because remember, your Howard Baker and Nancy Kassebaum had to sort of find their way to understanding what a criminal prick Richard Nixon was.
The people's got to know that I'm not a prick.
God, I love it. I love it. I love it.
It was the Jews, Henry the Jews.
Henry the Jews. Oh, I want to read something. I want to read something to everybody really, really quick. It's extremely important to me. And if Robin, if you already read this, I apologize. But I wanted to say this. I'm not sentimental, which I know a lot of you are probably shocked to hear that. Very much, but I wanted to talk about today, August 6th, would have been my grandpa's 97th birthday. He passed in 2007, and he was, you know, when you look in a dictionary and you read in textbooks, not textbooks, encyclopedias about what a grandpa is, frankly, that was my grandpa. And I just wanted to make sure I said something to the universe that I miss him, that I miss.
He was born 1924.
1924, right.
Same year as my dad.
Oh, damn. See, I knew you know, I'm going to tell you what. We are brother and sister by another mother.
That's a nice homage. That's a nice homage, Steve, to your grandpa.
Yeah,
it is.
Hey, Steve.
Yes, Scott.
Just to touch quickly on my being idealistic or whatever, I don't think it's so much idealism. It's simply a matter of some people get it and some people don't. They either don't or pretend they don't. And that's the ruination of this fucking country. There are people who either don't get it or do get it, but pretend that they don't. And it's not too terribly difficult to be happy and right, you know? And by right, I don't mean right wing. I mean to be happy and to be correct about something.
Mm-hmm.
Or if correct is too strong a word, reality-based.
Scott,
I don't get that they don't get it. I mean, life would be so much more pleasant for all concerned if people would just take the time to let people disagree without being disagreeable. Once upon a time, we could do that, or at least pretend to do it.
I think it
boggles the mind. It truly boggles the mind.
Wait a minute. Let me qualify. It boggles your mind because you have managed, and this is not a criticism at all. You have managed for a number of years. I know you're what, 29 or 30? Is that that's how old you are, right? 31.
32. I've got underwear that's 29 or 30. Are you kidding me?
Well, there went dinner in the Pacific.
Yeah, there went dinner. I was just gonna say. Robin, I tried to sugarcoat it. I tried to dip it in chocolate and make it palatable.
The record, I'm 67.
Okay, but the bottom line is this: is and Robin, you can say if I'm right or wrong about this, or anybody can. To know somebody who is 67, who has that much wisdom and that much experience, who still maintains that level of idealism and optimism, that's a person we need to constantly, constantly, constantly listen to. Because that's the person who can remind us of how things were, but more importantly, how things could be. And I don't mean to, I'm not trying to be maudlin here and sound all whatever, but I'm serious about that, Scott. And I appreciate that about you. At the same time, while it pisses me off, I appreciate that about you.
Well, I appreciate your saying that, because that's sometimes you feel like a lone voice in the wilderness, you know?
And
I do anyway.
Be honest, you are. But that doesn't mean you stop speaking, and that doesn't mean people aren't listening.
Well, and I appreciate that too. I just have a low tolerance for bullshit. It's what it is, and I will call people on it. And that used to get me in trouble as a kid, because even then, I was pretty much a younger version of who I am right this moment. And it's not an easy thing to be. The person telling an uncomfortable truth in an environment of lies or not paying any attention to the blatantly obvious, that's a rough mission to be on. But I have a very low tolerance for for nonsense. Silliness I love. Nonsense, not so much.
You know what? I'm going to sum it up this way, and I am not one to quote other people, but I'm going to associate something that is attributed to Robert F. Kennedy to you, and it's this. Some men see things as they are and ask why. I dream things that never were and ask why not. And I think that very much summarizes what you offer to this community.
Nicely played.
Very well said, Steve. I appreciate that.
Hey.
And that is a favorite quote of mine from Bobby Kennedy, but he got it from somebody else, but I forget who.
Yeah, well,
what about a guy in 2.5 months will be 70 years old?
Who's that?
Me.
Sparky.
I'm kidding, Sparky. I, you know what, Sparky? I love you for other reasons. I hope I can get to the horn in. Robin and I have spoken and talked about it. It's looking less and less possible. For a number of reasons. I'm fucking terrified of COVID, and I'm going to give one story and then I will shut up for the rest of the night. And I emailed Robin about this. I have a trial that the court has set for us to begin on on Tuesday, the 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, the 17th, I believe. My adversary, who's the plaintiff in the case, contacted me today and said I was fully vaccinated. I got COVID. I can't taste anything. I have a horrible cough, and I'm quarantining at home. His office, he told me, 50% of the people in his office have the disease.
Jesus.
And I got a call from the clerk at the court today reminding me about the case going forward on the 17th. And I flat out told him, I said, let me tell you something. There is no fucking way I'm coming into a courtroom to pick a jury with a bunch of people LARPing, smolicking, gravelating, putrefying. And I'm vaccinated. I get it. But
my brother-in-law, one of his assistants in his school, got COVID before pre-vaccination time. Mm-hmm. And she got COVID then. She got vaccinated. She just got it again. She gave it to her kids, both of her kids, who are under 12, and they're in the hospital. And they're in critical condition.
Have you seen some of these fucking stories? A 15-year-old died, a 9-year-old. Oh, Jesus Christ.
It's heart-wrenching. It's so scary. My nephew's 10. I'm scared to death for him.
You know what the worst is? The worst fucking part of this, and what makes me so angry, and what has made me lose all my care and compassion for people who are in the, you know, for the Sturgises of the world and that other, the other thing. No, this is preventable.
Yeah.
We didn't have to be
have to be this way, right.
But I'd rather get it because my body's going to need to fight it off. I'm not going to hurt anybody else.
I'm going to be stronger. Can't kill me will make me stronger.
I had a friend of mine.
Isn't
that what Jeeva said?
Jeremy, Chris, I had a friend of mine who says to me, well, you know, I'm vaccinated, but I'm healthy and I eat right. And, you know, I'm not going to. And I thought, I flat said to him, I said, you're fucking wrong.
You're a fucking idiot. God.
Anyway, I'm going to shut up here, but I'm not logging off, but I just want to tell everybody, and yes, especially you, Scott, I love you all. I love you all like my luggage. Actually, you know, the only luggage I have is what my suitcase that my cat has scratched up. So anyway, so
Can't scratch suitcase. No Ted Nugent. No singing.
No. Yeah. I'll tell this. It's super all scratched up, and I still use it. And the best reason to use it, nobody's fucking going to steal my suitcase because they're going to look at it and go, "What the fuck plane did you drop that out of?"
Yeah. What could possibly be in there?
Yeah.
Worth stealing.
Does everyone remember the world-class athlete at the beginning of this who had to have a double lung transplant, almost died, and lost like 80 pounds and now can't do what he used to do from COVID? He's one of these guys who's unhealthy that won't affect me. They're fucking wrong.
Well, I got one here that's, you know, this is sufficient to make one eat dirt and run rabbits. And I also need to say thank you to our dear sister Jude in the Great Northwest. Jude just got us down to only $10 to finish fundraising for yesterday, leaving us just with $310 to go for a fully funded first week of August here at the Horn. $310 to go, and that's a 35. That $310 would be a 35-minute Horn Family Community made miracle. Now, when you're talking about, you know, the unvaccinated, take this into account. And by the way, I need to bring Dave in the blind on here in a second. He's got a couple of updates for us. I did that just to remind myself. So dig this. You know, the World Health Organization recently issued a statement saying that it is opposed to doing booster shots because of the vast number of people in developing countries that still can't get their first shot. And it would be the height of hubris to start giving booster shots in developed countries when the rest of the world is trying not to die and is dealing with all these variants without ever having had the first shot. And there's a point, it's hard to escape the point of that. That having been said, I wonder how people in the developing world would feel about, for instance, the state of Alabama. And I have to go down there. And I'm beginning to really get the creeps about it. The state of Alabama can't seem to get its population to get a vaccine. I know a lot of people down there, and the ones I know are damned well vaccinated. They were in line the minute the line opened. But 34%. 34.6% is the vaccine rate in Alabama right now. 34.6%, just a little bit more than a third of the population. And in point of fact, the state of Alabama, with 1.5 million doses presently available, just threw out 7,000 J&J vaccines, 11,000 Moderna vaccines, and 47,000 Pfizer vaccines because they expired.
Motherfucker. God. Even Governor Meemaw, in her comments, they didn't make an impression?
Well, they got it from 33.1 to 34.6, so she got a 1.5% bounce.
She's worth a field goal.
Right. I mean, you know, on a pick'em bet, you know, that might have made the difference. But it's so infuriating.
Well, then, that's a great point, Robin.
United Airlines announced that their 68,000 employees will have to either be vaccinated or will have to be, like, constantly testing. And to me, at this point in time, that's just wrong. You either get the vaccine or you don't work for United anymore. Of course, they've got a union.
Hey, Robin, you want to hear something? Sorry, you want to hear something really screwed up in Missouri?
What's that?
The Missouri State Attorney General, not the governor, and don't remind me, Mark Parsons is an idiot too, and that's another reason why I'm glad in Kansas.
Yeah, you mean pardon?
Kansas,
yeah.
At least I got a Democratic governor.
You mean pardon Parsons?
The Missouri State Attorney General, yeah. The Missouri State Attorney General earlier this week told the mayor of Kansas City, Missouri, and the mayor of St. Louis, Missouri, if you issue another mask mandate, I'm going to file a state lawsuit against you for doing so.
And you know what? I think you answer that with bring it on. There's only one way to stand up to a bully, and that's to punch him in the damn nose. I mean, that stupid bastard Parsons, he just got done pardoning Bonnie and Claude, who waved their guns at Black Lives Matter marchers back last summer. He gave them a state pardon, stupid bastard. But, I mean, how do you reach people? I mean, how many people are going to wind up, if it's 1%, you know, how many people are going to wind up dead now in Talabama? And I feel so bad for people like Dr. Scott Harris he's a virology epidemiology expert down there, and they're busting their ass at the University of Alabama Birmingham Medical Center, and they're trying to keep it COVID free. And Jesus, for the people who are trying, how do they not? Well, I mean, social distancing, so they can't just walk up and slap the snot out of somebody who isn't vaccinated. But if you're in Alabama, how do you not, you know, how do you not actively just feel open hostility about the people who won't get a shot?
Hey, Robin?
Yeah.
Am I wrong in remembering that Nick Saban
begged,
actually jumped on the vaccine, social distancing, masking bandwagon way back?
Oh yeah,
he said,
y'all want to? If he said, you know, if y'all want to have a football season, you better put on a mask. And the Auburn head coach did too. And
I mean, would those not be great ways to?
Well, it apparently didn't work.
Are there large car manufacturers down located in Alabama and
yeah,
Mississippi, both, right?
Yeah, Mercedes-Benz, Hyundai.
Yeah, well, it's time for them to step up and do their fucking job.
Well, but that's
you
want
to go to work?
You
want a fucking paycheck?
Get a shot
in arm. Jab. Yeah. It's jab time, motherfucker.
And see, that Mercedes-Benz plant isn't even union, and neither is the Hyundai. They can do anything to them they want to, including requiring them to get a goddamn vaccine as a condition of employment.
And
absolutely.
I will say this, and I'm not, this is not going to be popular here. From the stuff that I've read, some of the unions are pushing back on vaccine mandates.
Oh, I know they are. That's why United is saying you've either got to get a vaccine or be tested weekly. Well, I mean, the testing isn't fun, but that's not going to slow an anti-vaxxer down.
But you know what, Robin? You know why I think they're doing that? Because somebody about two times is going to have a Q-tip stuck clear up their nose and into their brain. I'm speaking figuratively. And I think at some point the person's going to go, wait a minute, I got to do this every week or I can get a shot in my arm. Where's the fucking shot?
And be done.
Where's the fucking shot?
Well, you hope, but the other part of it, Steve, is this. The fact that... if you've got a workforce of 68,000 employees and you start shit-canning the people who won't get a vaccine, how are you going to keep the planes flying? I mean,
yeah, but,
you know, we've recovered something like 2/3 of the jobs that we lost as a result of the onset of the pandemic. Wages are up somewhat. But the fact of the matter is we're running headlong into the reality of our own demographics. We've got a lot of service jobs out there that need to be done, and there simply aren't enough Americans to do them.
You may tell you what I think, and this sounds really, really harsh. Let's talk United. You said 68,000 employees?
I think that was the number I heard, yeah.
Okay. Normally, if a company fired somebody, they would be eligible for unemployment. We may want to think about, okay, fine, you don't want to get vaccinated.
No unemployment.
Right.
That makes you ineligible.
Well, and it's not that.
No,
it's not that.
Well,
it's not. Hold on. Right. It's not that far-fetched, Steve, because refusing to follow an order of your employer is insubordination, and insubordination is a fireable offense. or failure to follow an order could also be considered a voluntary quit.
I was just going to say, or it could be a volunteer. But and tell me what everyone thinks here. I'm talking to you, Scott. I'm talking to you, Jeremy. Well, talking to you, Chris.
Wait a minute, hold on.
No, I'm talking to you, Robin.
Go ahead.
I'm talking to you, Sparky. Sparky's our union guy here. I'm thinking we make it clear. I don't like these fucking mandates. I don't. But at the same time, it's the survival of our country and our economy is at stake here. And I don't think that's an overstatement.
Not to mention those people we love.
I feel no antipathy whatsoever toward a mandate any more than I felt an antipathy toward making sure our kids are properly vaccinated before they go into the viral cesspit that is the public school system. And it just is because it is.
Which everyone who's hearing my voice had to do, and it was no big deal. Like Robin and I have talked about a million times. You went to your school office a week before school started every fall, and you had a little card, and that card had your MMR, and it had your tetanus, and it had this, that, and whatever. And you went to the school secretary, and they said, "High school secretary, I want to register." Or my mom, or your mom, your dad, or whoever said, "Hey, I want to register little Johnny to start school this fall." And the school secretary looked at that little card, and she probably had another little card that said, "If this certain vaccination is before this date over here in this column, they have to have another one in order to start school." And it was not a big fucking thing. And mom, dad, grandma, grandpa, whoever it was, said, "Okay, thank you for telling me. I'll make an appointment for Johnny or Jane. We will go to the pediatrician. The pediatrician will give them the vaccine, and I'll bring it back to you, and we can enroll."
And you got a lollipop, too.
Oh, fucking A.
Yeah. I don't have any problem with saying you have to do certain things. I mean, you have to have a driver's license to operate a motor vehicle. I mean,
you have to have a goddamn seatbelt on.
Yeah.
I'm going to go into a restaurant and say, "You know, it's against my freedom to pay you for the food you gave me."
Sure, why not? Yeah. I want to go
pantsless. It's against my religion to wear pants.
My
free underwear.
No. Yeah,
Duncan,
right.
Duncan has his hand on.
Hold on, just a minute.
Because I'm in 30-year-old underwear yet.
Chris,
we're running out of time. But I got a couple of things. Among other things, Darlene in Connecticut said it's totally okay if Scott has underwear that's 20 years old because they're probably so well made they've stood the test of time, unlike the underwear of today. As long as he regularly washes them.
It's got the union label on them.
And hey, Scott, yeah. I, for one, do not want to be. I don't want the horn to appoint me the inspector of whether or not you wash or they're union made or
and
any of
I've
that.
Got it, so. And I've got
oh,
to.
Come on,
I've
you,
got
you
to,
can you can I be Inspector got, 12.
Come on, I have got to bring Dave and the Blind in. Okay, we got $10 to go to finish fundraising for yesterday. $310 to finish the week. It would be great if we could do that. But Dave, go, man.
Hey, Robin, I just wanted to let everyone know Christine is going to the Heinz School for the Blind on the 25th of September, and she's going to be there for about 5 weeks. They're going to teach her Braille and other things, and they told her that she could always come back if she needed more help, but they're getting her the help so she can start to learn Braille and stuff like that.
Awesome.
I wanted
awesome.
Everybody to know
where is that,
what
Dave?
Was going on.
Where is that school?
It's the Heinz School for the Blind. It's in Illinois. It's in a suburb of Chicago.
Okay. I can't remember. So I'm from there, sister, and I don't recognize the name of that.
It's probably
they've been doing it since like the 1920s. They've been teaching the blind since the 1920s.
That's awesome
and,
news. Awesome news.
Yeah, it is. It's amazing. The doctor told her that her seeing light and shadow and all that is in her mind. But this is the same doctor who didn't bother to look at her medical records and realized that her pupils do not dilate because of a congenital problem. And she told him, you know, the weak solution that you're using isn't going to open my irises up. And would he listen? Doctor, of course. And she was in Dayton, unfortunately, Robin, so she didn't get to wave the Reds. But she did say they had a really nice guest house that she and my sister-in-law stayed in while they were there. And she said, I didn't have to worry about anything. All the food, everything was taken care of. And so I'm excited for her. She had me call my sister tonight and ask her, what should I wear? Because Kathy used to teach in Chicago. And so we're getting her ready to get packed off, and she'll be home for Thanksgiving. So I'm looking forward to that.
Tell her to get some Rosati's pizza and get some Portillo's beefs or Al's. Either do both.
Beef.
Hell, get Portillo's and Al's.
Portillo's and Al's, what do they make, pizza?
Rosati's is my favorite pizza, but there's Giordano's, there's Uno's. My favorite that I grew up on was Rosati's. There's Rosati's all over Chicago.
Yeah, Kathy told me about the war of the, pizza parlor.
Now, hold on. I need to know this, Chris. When you say pizza, are you talking about that casserole they make in Chicago and call pizza?
No, well, that's Giordano's, and I'm not the biggest fan of that. I'll eat it if it's put in front of me. Oh, shit, I'll eat anything if it's put in front of me. But I like the thin crust that's cut in squares. That's Chicago. If you get a square-cut pizza, that's Chicago. With the triangles.
So
and everybody, it's a blood sport to get the corners, the triangle corners. That you need a mace or some sort of medieval instrument to get those.
Well, you're going to have a room full of blind people with canes, so that could be interesting.
Yeah. Oh, video that, please.
Oh, that sounds like a reality show.
Oh, does it, though? Next on the hunt.
Y'all,
cowbell for that, Robin.
Yes.
That's not terrible.
I was going to tell Dave that today, I mean now, in the year 2021, the technology is such in terms of Braille and the different mechanisms that they can use to write it. I learned Braille myself back in the 60s because I had a friend who was blind that I used to correspond with. And it was with a slate and stylus where you had to write the characters backwards from right to left so that when you turned the page over, it could be read in the correct way. But today they've got machine, even Braille writers, they used to be horrendously expensive where you had to have someone give you the money to get it because out of pocket you just couldn't afford it. So she's in terms of time and technology, she's in a prime position. And being able
And that's what they were telling her. They're only going to be spending 5 weeks with her and then they're going to send her home.
Yeah.
So I can imagine back in the 70s or the 80s, they would have been spending months.
Oh, yeah.
And she's like, the VA's loading me up with all this equipment, and she's getting services that she never thought she could get. And she told me, she said, they're going to give her an iPhone because evidently it's easier to use the iPhone than a regular smartphone. which is what she's using now. And I said, that's fine. We just need to make sure that it's got insurance on it and everything. But she said, I'm going to let the VA, she believes, and I don't doubt it, she got her Moderna vaccine, the first one, and then a few days later, after feeling ill, she collapsed and died, and they took 11 minutes to revive her. And so they came back at her with the, well, we've got your second shot, and she said, absolutely not. But I can understand her feeling that way. But I tell you, I am scared to death of some of these idiots in the Republican Party, and let's not put too fine a point on it. There is a, I don't know what the law, where the law is in the code, but if your rights are being violated by a politician and they're doing it in the, as part of their job, you know, legislation.
You mean like a Ron death sentence? You mean like that motherfucker?
Well, yeah.
Is
like
an example of what you're talking about?
People could actually, if they can prove that they were harmed, could drag his ass into federal court, and there's a $10,000. There's $10,000 if you're found guilty that goes to your victim for each count. And you can be sentenced up to 3 years in federal prison.
For each
violating
count?
Someone's
if
civil
death
life.
Sentence has killed, for like, each count. I don't know, 100,000 people, right? I'm just throwing a number out there.
He'd be doing time, so much time, Satan would be going, can we offer you a management position in our pineapple juice bar?
Yeah. Pineapple fields forever.
Oh, wait a minute.
Yeah, exactly.
You're welcome, Chris.
But Christine wants me to let you guys know how much she appreciates everybody pulling for her. And keep you updated, and hopefully we're planning on getting together for our anniversary.
Oh, nice.
And I'll call in and I'll let Robin know everything. And we might be able to get her on before she goes to Chicago.
That would be lovely.
So I will hop off here, guys, because I know the program's wrapping up. It was great to hear you. Scott, always a pleasure to talk to you. And I'll
you
talk
too,
to everybody
Dave.
Later. Bye.
Take care.
All right, and Duncan has his hand raised.
Yes, and has. Go ahead, Sparky.
I wanted to tell you about construction unions and getting vaccinated.
Yes, please.
All construction locals have a safety clause in their agreement. When you're at work, you have to, the employer has to supply all the safety gear, but he can also make conditions and as condition of dispatch, you have to get drug tested or something. He can make it like you have to be vaccinated to get a dispatch to go to work. So if anybody doesn't want to get vaccinated, they ain't going to work.
Yeah, fuck them. It's that simple. I'm sick of this shit. Nobody should be going into an airport if you're not vaccinated. And I don't give a shit if you're Hare Krishna or what the fuck, Latter-day Saints, any of that stuff. No. No religious exemptions either. That's crazy.
I mean, they built two football stadiums before there was vaccine. And how many outbreaks did you hear about on the stadiums? Not very many, because every swinging dick on that job had to wear a mask.
Yeah.
And I'm sure all the construction workers are tired of wearing masks. Probably don't want anybody that's unvaccinated on their job sites anymore.
Right. I mean, I mean, unions are famous for their commitment to worker safety. So why would it be any different?
I mean, you got to wear a harness on something when you're when you get up over a certain height. You got to wear a hard hat. I mean, you got to wear steel-toed boots sometimes.
Lumbar supports.
Yeah, you got to wear safety vests, high visibility vests, or high visibility T-shirts.
Knee pads. You know a little bit about knee pads, don't you?
Oh shit! Yeah, I know a lot about knee pads.
Sure,
we call them.
And they did all that with recycled air. Amazing.
We call them San Francisco slippers.
Jesus. You know, that's in line with something that Darlene just said, Sparky. Oh, Jesus, mandate. The vax of goddamn nations. These maggots and anti-vaxxers are the same assholes that scream jobs over human health and environmental stability like mountaintop removal, oil pipelines, fracking, so forth. So if jobs are all that matter to them, then they must get vaccinated to keep them and no unemployment compensation if they don't. Flip the damn tables on these assholes for once. I'm all on board with it, and I'm sick and tired of this country acquiescing to fools that refuse to do the right thing over those who do the right thing. That's messed up. And she's right. I mean, I know I've been hammering on it the last hour, but back to Alabama again. A month ago, Alabama had 200 people in the state hospitalized with COVID-19. 1 month later, that's a ninefold increase, 1,800 people hospitalized. And their hospital system is not exactly robust. And that's, you know, that's just Alabama. The other one that drives me crazy, Florida, according Ron DeSantis is fundraising on his, you know, I stood up to Joe Biden, give me $3, you know, fucking asshole. So today, Florida reported almost 23,000 new cases of COVID. And that is a higher number than they recorded at any time during the first part of the pandemic. As bad as it got over the winter, this is worse now. And they've broken their record for hospitalization for five straight days. They've broken their record. And right now, one out of every, get this, this is, I mean, I understand why Steve says he's terrified. One out of every 1,600 Floridians is in the hospital with COVID. One out of 1,600.
Winning.
Yeah, I mean they're owning the lib. They're owning the libs like crazy
yeah,
there.
I and feel then Trey, real owned.
And yeah, I'm so owned. And then Trey in Kentucky Stan just told me earlier, just to give you an idea, in Kentucky Stan, yesterday, the COVID positivity rate in Kentucky Stan was 10.27%. Today, it's up by almost 0.2%. It's to 10.46. Jesus. I mean, I think we better go back to looking at COVID Act now and the Johns Hopkins map every night like we were during the pandemic because, hey, this is still the pandemic. I mean, Jesus Christ.
We never left.
Hey, Robin.
Yeah.
The statistics that you're saying make me think back to that song, Blowing in the Wind. How many deaths will it take till we know that too many people have died? Well, apparently they don't understand the query, the question. Well, when is it going to dawn on these motherfuckers?
I don't, I don't mean to trigger you into saying we're all screwed, Robin. I don't think it can. I mean,
well,
it happens on an individual basis like these, you know, I'm sorry, you know. He wouldn't get the vaccine, and now he's dead. Please, everybody, get your vaccine. Why weren't you saying that before he died? I mean, and Ben brought up Pardon Parsons there in Missouri, Stan, the Show Me Moron state. You know, you live there, Scott. I've lived there. Yeah. And so they're smack dab in the middle of their worst of the COVID-19 pandemic. And
well, it's... Wait,
just hold on though, because this is, you know, this is another get the hockey puck moment. Oh my God. The Kansas City Star had a story where they said health officials and hospital leaders are begging people to get vaccinated and warning that the highly contagious Delta variant is overwhelming Springfield's hospitals. The facilities are caring for the most COVID patients ever, and city officials have canceled a major upcoming festival because of the spreading variant. But, well, enter Pardon Parsons. You know, this is impeachable, for fuck's sake. Parsons said that COVID messaging coming from Southwest Missouri is a blame game. And he said that health officials shouldn't scare residents into getting vaccinated. He said, this is the quote, "We just need to make sure that people are not scared into thinking they're doing something wrong going to a hospital. And I think the message you're seeing out of Southwest Missouri is more people just trying to blame somebody for this virus. The virus itself is to blame. We just got to figure out how we deal with it." Oh, fuck you! I mean, my God, get the shot. That's how you deal with it. "And I think healthcare, especially healthcare leaders, really need to be encouraging people the importance of the vaccine instead of trying to force people to take a vaccine or literally just scare them into taking a vaccine, because we know that don't work."
Jesus. What are we supposed to do? Hold every single person's hand and kisses on the cheek, saying, "Oh, it's the right thing to do."
Chris, we tried giving them a fucking cookie, didn't we? Hell, we offered them money.
Can we tell them Tinkerbell will die if they don't get a jab?
I think you got it. Tell them, tell them that their God Emperor gets one day nearer to death with every shot that they don't take. Because you know what? It's true.
I want to jump
one more
in
cheeseburger.
A quick thing about unemployment compensation. Every place I've ever applied for unemployment benefits, One of the factors which determine whether or not you're eligible to receive unemployment benefits is you have to be unemployed due to no fault of your own.
Exactly. And
so I'm kind of thinking that that's a good thing to have on the side of good and right and reality, because if they get unemployed because they didn't get the shot, that is a fault of their own.
Tough tushies,
isn't it? I mean,
yeah,
come on.
Yeah. That's the language that I use. You can't get unemployment compensation if you just quit your job, and refusing to follow an order is a mandatory order. Get a goddamn shot or don't come to work. That is a voluntary quit.
Right. It is. It is.
And it's you know. Look, you want people vaccinated in Alabama? I'm sorry, I don't mean to keep hammering on them, but it's just, you know, kind of on my mind. You want people to get vaccinated in Alabama? Tell them they can't go to a goddamn high school football game or a college football game unless they can show proof of vaccination. Now, they'll piss and moan, and maybe a few of them will set fire to something or, you know, shoot up a movie theater or grocery store or three, but, you know, that's just America. I'm terribly sorry to have even said that. But, you know, no, they want to go to their goddamn high school football games, especially. You know, Bryant-Denny Stadium and Jordan-Hare Stadium only hold so many people. But the fact of the matter is, high school football, Alabama, Texas, Louisiana, Georgia, etc., that matters because that is the beating heart of the community. And if you want them, if they want to go, make them get a shot, they'll get the shot.
Isn't a big part of this whole situation, doesn't it have to do with the illusion of normalcy? People apparently, if I'm reading the headlines correctly, want so badly to get back to, quote, normal, that they're killing themselves to do it. I mean, you get what I mean? It's like,
yeah, you know what? You know what, Scott? We're doing with climate change too.
Well,
we're refusing to recognize what the fuck is going on with the climate because we need normalcy so badly. But you have to be completely oblivious to your surroundings to not realize that climate change is a true blue thing.
Well, and if you've got a mindset in a large chunk of the population that says, I'll get back to normal, goddammit, if it kills me.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, I go back to what I said before. Dead people don't vote, except maybe in Cook County years ago.
Yeah.
What's even more fucked up, Scott, is all they're dicking around is going to, it's going to wind up to the point where a variant's going to come out that's going to circumvent the vaccine. And then,
yes,
go ahead and say
the old manner of hell is going to break loose. We're all screwed big time.
Yeah.
Because they're going to keep dicking around, and Fauci's come right out and said this. You know, eventually it will
It's a roulette wheel.
And over in Florida, Stan, Ron Monkey up DeQuantis won't even declare a state of emergency.
What is wrong with that guy, Robin?
He's
a fascist.
Alma, who put forward the Hair on Fire challenge this evening, and again, thanks to everybody who chipped in on that, Alma just sent me a tweet from Sherry Jacobus, who said, who subtweeted another tweet. Putin always has a backup plan. Ron DeSantis is younger and smarter. He needed a dummy to pave the way and take the risk that smarter people wouldn't take to show Ron how much he could get away with. Now that Ron sees what's possible, he's definitely cutting a deal with the devil. And Alma said, "We're under attack, Robin, and I think you know it." Hell yes. Yes.
Alma is spot on, man.
Yeah.
She hit it out of the park.
So,
Fucky Cucky Tucky was hanging out.
He's going into the tank.
Fucky Cucky Tucky was in Hungary, or still is. He's been there all week, right?
Yeah.
Learning how to be a better fascist.
Yeah, somebody should find a clip of him throwing a fit about the Dixie Chicks, saying they were ashamed that George W. Bush was from Texas and saying that in England. Because he's going over there and propping up Hungary's fascist dictatorship as a better system than ours. Motherfucker, don't ever stand in the same zip code with an American flag, and don't bitch about anybody who takes a fucking knee. Hell no. And thank you. Oh, very kind thanks to Kevin in Western, out in Massachusetts. Thank you, Kevin. We are done with yesterday, and we are, we got $235 to go to finish the week, and it's time for the front porch to become the back porch. Thank you very kindly, Kevin. Thanks so much. Y'all are awesome. Thank you, and everybody's awesome who keeps all of this on the air. Thanks to each and every one of you who keeps the program on the air. Patreon subscribers, PayPal subscribers, a la carte contributors. You're all the only reason this program continues to exist. You make it possible. And hopefully maybe over the weekend that $235 will show up. That would be wonderful. Indeed, Ralph's. Woohoo! Yeah. Thank you to each and every one of you who share your precious finite time engaging in the program in whatever manner you so choose. Thank you to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you to Sparky and Steve in the chat room. They're also co-moderators in the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable conversation. Thank you both very kindly. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, headon.live. Remember, brand new Fresh Malloy on the way, 9 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 6 p.m. Pacific. The best place to listen to the first run of Malloy is headon.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net, 20-plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. This would be a great time to reach out to your member of Congress and ask him to co-sponsor H.R. 2073, the Appalachian Communities Health Emergency Act, the AIC Act. It means the world to Appalachia. Mm-hmm. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Please stay safe. Get your vaccine if you haven't already. If you've already gotten yours, encourage someone to get theirs. It's our only hope. Meantime, maintain your frontline defenses. Wash your hands. Don't touch your face. Use your hand sanitizer. Take it with you everywhere you go. Pocket or purse. Use it liberally. Wear gloves. Gloves are a great way to keep from contaminating your hands, as long as you know how to take the gloves off right. Wear your mask. We're back to it. Wear your mask if you're anywhere except like home. Wear your mask. Maintain your social distance. Remember what Paul from Parts Unknown says, 15 to 20 feet. Yep. And of course, if somebody comes towards you talking about how, no, hell, I ain't going to get no vaccine. It might make me sterile and me being such a stud and all. Avoid that person like the plague. Because he is. Have a great weekend, everybody. Later.